Okay, it's 6 o'clock. Let's call this meeting to order. The Monday, November 21st, 2011 regular meeting of the Taney County Planning and Zoning Commission. You want to establish a quorum, Mr. Atchley?
Oh, okay. Dave Stewart.
Here.
Rick Caudill.
Here.
Steve Adams.
Here.
Ray Edwards.
Here.
Rick Therese.
Here.
Sean Pingleton.
Here.
And Susan Martin.
Here.
We have established a quorum.
Very good. If you would explain the meeting procedures, please.
Okay. The Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting is held for final approval on each Division 3 application presented at the previous Monday public hearing, and also to present new concept requests to be presented at next month's public hearing. The Taney County Development Guidance Code is Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B, and the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C for all cases to be heard this evening. Final votes will be heard first. Each project will be reviewed and decided on by the commission. There are no sign-up sheets at this meeting other than a sign-up sheet for comment on code amendments that will be heard after the concept hearings this evening. If you do not accept the decision of the commission, you may appeal to the Board of Adjustment. Applications for the Board of Adjustment are available at the planning office. Concepts will be heard first, following the final votes. If you are presenting a concept at this meeting, your name or the name of your project will be called. At that time, please come forward and address the commission. Your proposal will be heard, and additional documentation may be requested for the public hearing next month. No public comment will be heard at this meeting, with the exception of the applicant or persons with information requested by the commission. You may leave after your case has been heard. Thank you very much.
Okay, and that did include the presentation of our exhibits in there, didn't it? Or do you have more for me?
Yes, sorry. I just went ahead and put it in.
Good there. Enough. That's what I thought. Okay, the next item on our agenda is our minutes. We have minutes for Tuesday, October 11th, and Monday, October 17th. I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to be approved.
Okay.
I'll second it.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion on those minutes? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, minutes passed. We have final votes tonight on three items. The first one up is 798 Parkview Drive, rental house. Do we have a representative here tonight for them? Very good. Okay. Why don't you come on up? Tell me your name again.
Tammy.
In case the commission has any questions for you, Tammy. Okay. Any questions or comments for Tammy?
I have one. Since you said Mr. Westfall does not want a privacy fence, what do you offer as an alternative to meet that buffering that would be required?
I don't know that we've, not anything physical by any means, but, you know, rules and regulations about where our property is and, you know, not impinging on our neighbors and when we do rental contracts. So I think that, you know, that's the only thing I know of to do that, to address that with.
And I need to ask, does it require the buffering with this special use permit?
Well, on the special use permit, it's my understanding that it does leave it a little more to the discretion of the Planning Commission because it's not looked upon, because it is a special use permit and not a Division 3 request.
Okay, so it's more of the discretion. You have rented it out as a single-family residence
yes.
before.
Yes.
And at that time, did you have a limit on how many cars that the renters could have at any one time
no.
in the parking lot?
No.
Okay. Normally, just on an average, how many cars? One, two?
Usually two, I think. You know, it's usually been families, like a mother, father, and children, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Well, I'd just like to make a comment.
Okay.
And that comment is, I'm in favor of everybody being able to do with what they want to with their property. But in that particular instance out there, it's just not what was intended. I don't think it was intended by the originator of that property in that whole complex. And I just hate to see any further commercial property in that neighborhood. That's my opinion.
Okay. Any other questions for the applicant?
Well, I agree with Rick. I think to use that property for commercial is out of line. We had a Mabe case there close by. We denied the rental there, and they probably had a little more yard and more park, had parking on two sides of that property. And I just don't see turning Taney County residents into a motel, and that's what about what it amounts to. So I can't support it. I don't know of anything in our code that even would allow us to do a 3-day minimum. If they're going to break away from the 30-day, I think that'd have to go to the Board of Adjustment before we could even act on it. We've had other cases that was contrary, a little variance from the code, and we sent them to the Board of Adjustment before we take action. And I think this is out of line myself. I'd have to oppose it.
Okay. I don't disagree with you, Ray, as far as, I mean, we have something set up in the code for something under anything under 30 days. Is that correct?
And that's what's actually termed nightly rental.
Nightly rental is anything less than 30 days, whether it's 3 days, whether it's 1 day, whether it's 29 days.
We do or we don't?
We do. Yeah. So, I mean, it's in there just in general for the county, but we're talking specifically about this particular piece of property.
What section of code is it? I don't have that with me, but
It's under our definition.
I believe it defines it that way under the definitions.
Yeah.
Yes.
Somewhere around page 58 or somewhere.
Yeah, it just defines it as a residential building, structure, or part thereof that may be rented for any period of time less than 30 days.
Well, nevertheless, we're still opposed to
it. Well, it makes no differential between nightly rental and 30 days in the code. Right,
whether it's one night or whether it's 29 nights. I was just making the point that there is something in there. But what we're looking at here is this particular piece of property, and I agree with you that I don't. There may be some places even on Poverty Point where that would be okay, but maybe. I don't know. There are certainly some places where it's okay in Taney County, but I'm in agreement with you on that I don't think this one is conducive to that. We do need to bring it up for a vote, though, if there's not any more comments. If there's more comments or questions, though.
Well, I kind of agree with Ray there. I think that this would be opened up a can of worms for the whole county and every subdivision in the county, should it pass. Therefore, I would have to be against it also.
Okay. And I understand that. We do have a few that have passed, but they've been different situations than this. I mean, I just want to be clear to
they were on more land.
Different situations.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we look at these, and that's why anybody has the ability and the right to come and ask.
The others are more compatible to the surrounding area.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Anything else?
I'm done.
Okay, everybody's done?
I'm ready.
Well, I'd entertain a motion.
I would make a motion to disapprove this request.
I'll second it.
So a motion to deny the request and a second. Any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor of denying the request, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Motion is denied.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Up next is Angel's Rest Gift Shop. We have a representative here for them, I'm pretty sure, somewhere, don't we? Yeah. And tell me your name again, please.
Phyllis Tate.
Okay, Ms. Tate. Any questions for Ms. Tate?
You said this is primarily, you're not going to have a lot of street traffic, and it's primarily internet, right?
Yes.
Okay. And your closest neighbor has no objection to this?
Mr. Holt has no objections.
He was here, I don't know, at the public hearing. He had no objection to it. And the land on the other side looks like it's vacant. Do you know who the owner of that property is?
The gentleman lives in Oklahoma, I believe. At least that was the last address we had. We tried to buy that property at one time.
Did the Planning Commission know if he was contacted on this?
Well, every landowner sent a letter within...
Within 600 feet.
So he should have been sent a letter.
He was notified also then.
Should have been notified. Now, whether that went to whatever address we have on file, the county. I mean, so, you know, sometimes they go to the bank or whatever, but we do what we can to notify them, and that's all done through the county.
It exactly right. It would have gone to whatever address the assessor's office has for taxation purposes.
So, you are going to have open retail hours there, if my notes are correct, and you said what you would do is Tuesday through Saturday, 9 to 4.
Yes.
Okay. Make sure that was right. Any other questions for Ms. Tate?
And then 2 4-by-4, 4-foot-by-4-foot signs, one out in front, and then you said you got permission from a neighbor.
I haven't yet, but if he doesn't give me permission, I won't hang it up. So.
Okay.
It's mostly going to be flyers and the internet advertising.
Just out of curiosity, I was looking at your updated picture. Does it have air conditioning, and is this the place you're opening your gift shop in?
Yes. And no, there's no air conditioning. Eventually, if we're doing a lot of work in the summertime, we'll have to put one, like a window air, in. The room that we're using is approximately 15 by 16, so there's not going to be a lot of...
So this is your workshop as well?
Yes.
Okay. And you're making jewelry? Is that what you...
Jewelry, quilts, whatever little fancies we can find.
I understand. And Bob, is the parking in compliance with...
We feel that there would be adequate parking there. With the size of this structure, it would really only require about one space.
Any other questions? Well, I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. We approve it.
I'll second it.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. It's approved.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. On Verizon Wireless, I know we've got a representative here. I saw him earlier. Tell me your name again.
Gary Buster.
Hi, Gary.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
I don't think there was any opposition to this. I'll make a motion. We approve it.
I second.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Just to clarify or remember, there's no structures that any like homes or anything near there where that's being built?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay.
And nothing else has happened with that other tower that you'd be able to invest in it?
No.
Okay. I still don't like two towers there, but we can't punish either one, the homeowner or the other company, for the other thing, so yeah. I'm fully in favor of it.
Okay.
That tower going to be set down the hill from that one?
Yeah, it's outside the footprint of the guidelines from that other one, so it's not in violation of the other tower structure at all.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right. We've got a motion. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That's it for our final votes. So we'll move right on to our concepts if you're ready.
Mr. Anderson. Yes.
And first up, Larimore Photography.
Thank you.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Okay. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Sorry, but.
Thank you. Ooh, handout.
Handout. Yeah. That one.
Okay, that'd be great.
Okay, what we are proposing is the property that is located on Bee Creek, the actual address, 1708 Bee Creek, be zoned commercial. Right now it's sitting residential. We have contacted the next door neighbor and asked if he would oppose that we put Larimore Photography Incorporated inside this building. The actual structure of the building is not going to change. It is going to remain as a house, other than the fact that we're going to be using it as a studio. We also have a full-service processing lab, so we do also carry chemistry. I have provided you a detailed list of the chemistry that we do carry. We also have a silver recovery unit. I also provided you a picture with that as well. The chemistry that does go into our machine does require a silver recovery unit, and we do have that. All other paper and that and such is not hazmat. Primarily what we would use this piece of property for is our photography only. The lab is specifically for us to print our pictures and a few customers. I have provided you a picture of other commercial property that is located by this property. We have Corporate Place, Sanctioned Church, LDS Church, Bee Creek Apartments, Crawford Automotives, and Boys and Girls Club of the Ozarks, all located within the 600 feet radius. I have also provided you a picture of the buffering that is required for our next door neighbor. Buffering is definitely set on the back end. There is a large amount of tree and shrubs on that side. I do know that the next door neighbor does not want a privacy fence, but I don't think that he would object to more shrubbery or a couple more trees and all of that good stuff. I've also provided you a picture of our silver recovery unit.
Lori, So on the buffering there with the neighbor to the south, it looks like you've got more than enough room to meet our required minimum, and you would prefer the shrubbery over.
We would prefer something that we could use photographically. So pampas grass, flowers. We might actually lay a couple of brick walls.
I think what we have now is what we call it is landscape buffering.
Yes.
Right? And we give a minimum of 25 feet.
Yes, and so, that's what we talked about.
Yeah.
Was the
so that's, the okay. Back end of the property definitely has that. And the other side of the piece of property, the left side, if you're looking at the property, has a fence, and it's also right next to
Corporate Place.
Yeah, Corporate Place. So it's commercial on that one side. Like I said, we have spoke with the next-door neighbor and told him our intentions and told him that we were planning on putting a sign up, but it would be on the very far side away from his house. The only objection that he had is he really doesn't want a privacy fence, but we will, you know, make that buffering like we need to. The next page is a picture of our silver recovery unit that we actually have in our store, and then a picture of our processing unit for pictures. We've also included that this piece of property does have water hooked up to it and electricity. We've gotten a verbal okay from Plumber's Trash Service out of Kirbyville. They will be picking up the trash for us. The real thick stuff in there is the list of the chemistry. So I just provided that for you so you'd know exactly what would be on the property. At the very back, might not be at the very back on yours.
So our recreational reading then, we need to read.
Yeah, a lot of boring stuff. I provided it for you. We do not have, we are not going to contest that we hook up to city sewer. We have already contacted a contractor and have already gotten bids for that as well. So we did do research as far as our chemistry being put into a septic system, and it is, it doesn't say that you can't do it, but it is frowned upon. And our family lives 0.3 miles away from this house, so we don't want to do anything to jeopardize the water.
I appreciate that. I'm just across the hill, so that's nice to do that.
Well, and we already knew going into this piece of property that we would probably have to hook up to city sewer, so we have already gotten the bids on all of that stuff, and we're not opposing doing that.
Now,
do you own?
Through there, that's county.
It's city.
It's city.
Yes.
And they have okayed your photography chemistry or whatever is going into their sewer.
Well, technically, I mean, we're already on city sewer as it is right now.
With our store.
The house is.
No, with our store. We have a store right now.
No.
No. And if you go through a couple of slides, some of the, after the chemistry, the effluent goes through the silver recovery unit, there is one more. There you go.
Oops.
That one. Let me go back. It's a hallmark defining unit. It has the pH is where we're not sure about the pH of a septic tank as opposed to a septic, you know, the process. That's the whole thing. There's no oil, grease, detergents, no flammable, toxic, or explosive materials that go after that, you know, silver recovery unit. Everything is taken out. It's the pH level. That they hang up on with the septic system or with the septic tank, and so that's all treated in.
So a requirement to hook up to central sewer wouldn't be an issue here, because obviously you've already checked into that.
Yeah.
If we required that as part of the approval, and that's something during the public hearing. But in lay terms, the best you can, you may explain, just so people understand if they do have any questions about that. You know, if they hear chemicals that's something they probably would want to know.
Yeah, once the chemicals go through the refinery unit, they are safe.
Okay.
So.
And, you know, just to let folks know, you're already on.
We're already on six.
Yeah. Okay. Continue. Oh, wait, you had a question. Sorry.
Are you living currently on this property?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
We live 0.3 miles up the street. We live on 127 Honeysuckle Lane, which is on the corner of Bee Creek and Honeysuckle.
Okay.
So we are just trying to we don't want to keep our house and our business together. We want a separate area, and that's close enough to commercial that we think that we would get a better response. Okay. Our house is definitely located in a residential area.
So you're
area.
Buying this property? You
yes,
own
ma'am.
It now?
No, we're in the process of purchasing it. We have a contingency on it being approved to be zoned commercial.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything else?
I'm fine.
Okay, we have, are we going to show a slide?
That's what we've been going through.
Like I said, the primary purpose for this piece of property is so that we can continue to do our photography. James and I both are photographers. Mr. Larimore is actually a school teacher, but he does do senior and wedding photography. I specialize in infant portrait photography along with children's photography. So we're talking about one or two cars in our parking lot at one time. There might be, you know, a chance where we do a family reunion out there. But still, all the family reunions that I have photographed that have come from out of town have never been more than four or five cars. We do have a very large turn driveway, so it is a pull in and a pull out. There's two entrances, two exits.
How many cars can you accommodate there?
Probably 15, 16. It's a very large turnaround.
There's parking the basement level. There's actually parking down below and parking by the other existing structure that's, I guess.
You can see the paved parking lot going down, and then it also has a full turn.
That we could probably fit more cars in there than what we're
what we'll ever use
at our current business.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, very good. Any questions or comments? Concept from the prepared for?
I'm full of questions tonight.
Well, good.
What is the policy in that Bee Creek area now? When you hook to sewer, they've got some kind of a contingency, or did have when I was taking care of the water district over there, that you go into the city. Will this property go into the city when they hook up?
I'll be honest, I have not communicated with the city yet, but it's my understanding that they can't require annexation unless it's contiguous. That's normally the policy of most cities now.
Yeah, I understand that policy, but they put something in effect when they did the sewer over there, and then from what I understand, the sewer district, it was a joint venture thing between the city and the sewer district. And one of the things that was going to happen at one time was that the people hooked on the sewer was going to annex, and I just wondered what the current status of that was.
What I've seen in some cases, and I don't know. I can look into that further.
Bee Creek Apartments, but, I'd like to know.
Well, Bee Creek Apartments, which was just built over there, is not in the city limits, and they hooked up to that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I do know some municipalities require consent annexation where
well,
you basically
when I was
sign.
Taking care of the water district, yeah. They had stuff written up, and I think they had
to
back off.
They wanted to annex all that.
Yeah, I think
off.
They had to back yeah. off, and I didn't know what the current status was
yeah,
since I retired.
It's not required.
Okay.
I've just got one question. It's about the processing for customers. Are you talking about outside customers or customers that you take their pictures there?
Branson Photo did start out officially as a processing lab. We bought it 7 years ago and transformed it to a studio. But we have had, you know, a couple of customers who still really like the way that we print, and they use us still. We are not going to advertise that, though.
As most of you know, the process by which we get our pictures has really changed in the last 5 years with digital, going from film to digital. We no longer process film, but every once in a while we do have those loyal customers that will bring in their digital cameras to have prints made. If you saw that one picture of the Nuritsu 3300, that's our printer, the RA system printer. Right now, as it stands, we probably have a total of 10 patrons that come in for prints.
And it's sparse.
Will those patrons follow us? More than likely, just because we built a relationship with them, and they know that they're going to get a high quality product when they bring it to us. We wouldn't have walk-ins, basically.
Well, that would be the concern.
Yeah, that's actually what we're trying to get away from.
To be honest, we're trying to get away from the 15 people that walk in asking for directions to their hotel and rushing our stuff.
If you understood where we are located right now, you would.
Because we you know.
Koi Garden Plaza.
Yeah. We're in the Koi Garden.
And we're the very first.
Well, there goes instant passport photos, by golly.
Yeah, sorry.
Been there several times to get passport photos.
Any other questions?
Yes. Am I correct in assuming you're going to abandon your Branson location then? Your Branson Photo location?
Yes.
Is it no longer be in business?
Right.
Location.
Only.
The location will be up for lease space from Twitter.
Okay.
We do a lot of, when we book family reunions and even children's portrait work and stuff like that, a lot of that goes on through the internet or a phone call. Rarely do we have anybody that walks in that says, I want to book an appointment. Sometimes we'll get people from the nail salon. You know, mama's getting her nails done, and then she comes in and she decides, hey, I want to book an appointment, but that's still rare.
90% of our businesses ask, 90% of our new business asks where we're located, and so paying for the retail rent is just not worth it to us right now. So we're hoping to go from something a lot smaller, around 1,000, less than 1,000 square foot, to something that we can grow into a larger portrait studio.
What kind of advertising do you intend to do on site there?
Just the sign. Most of our advertisement will be through my BNI group that I'm in, and through we have a really good website, and through other websites that bring people to our website.
Really, websites. Just one sign there on property.
And it'll be on the very very side that's on the commercial side. It'll be right by Corporate Place. But, yeah.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, well, the next step is public comment, and that'll be next month, December 12th? Monday, December 12th? No holidays, you sure?
That's correct, yes. December 12th.
Too bad, Tom.
Okay, December 12th, all right. See you then. Thanks. Okay, next up we have Learn and Play Daycare.
Big time now. Keep that fire going all winter. These are great.
There's enough. Thank you.
We're supposed to mulch with them. I think we're supposed to put them in the fireplace.
I'd go to the fireplace.
No?
I do have one handbook already made for the daycare. We just made one just in case. Do you want, who wants that?
You can give that to Bob. Thank you. And one of you are Tanya, is that right? Okay.
We put together a little booklet so you guys can see the property layout, as well as our attentive schedule. And then also putting in my experience so that you guys can kind of see what we have. I've worked in daycares and nannying, and since we've moved to the Missouri area, I've been in close contact with the parents' as teachers, and she has mentioned several times to me how there's been a need for daycares that are structured, and I've actually homeschooled my kids for preschool and kindergarten and then put them into the public school, so they came in reading, and a lot of the teachers say, I'm not sure what you do with your kids, but, you know, so it's something I'd like to implement into a daycare setting. And my husband and my father-in-law, we've all gotten together. This is my mother-in-law. We've all gotten together, and we already own this property here.
Could you tell us where that, just to orient us a little bit, tell us okay. where
that
property is?
We are in Kissimmee Mills.
Sorry, I didn't know if that would...
Kissimmee Mills area. And it's 160,
okay.
off of 160. I don't know if y'all are familiar, obviously, with Scooters. And everyone knows where the gas station is.
Okay.
And you go from Scooters, you go down to 160 area. There's a fire station straight across from us, so we're really safe. We're okay. right there if we need them.
Is this at your father-in-law's place?
This is actually owned by my husband.
But is that your place?
Yes.
Okay, so when you get the Scooter,
yeah.
you turn south toward Arkansas, right?
Yeah.
Just
bump. Yeah.
Then you're doing good.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm familiar with that area.
Yes.
Yeah. Been there a lot lately.
Right before you get to,
she knows exactly
what is that, Way something?
Lakeway.
Lakeway?
Yes. We actually live off of Lakeway ourselves.
But it's right before you get to Lakeway on the left. Going
yes.
south.
Yes, it's a green roof building. Right next to an empty lot with the horse pastures behind it. So
okay.
We are, as you can tell by the plans, already we have laid in some of the flooring. We've done some of the kitchen work, all stuff that's able to be done if we're going to move on or not move on because we'll be waiting for it. I keep pushing my husband to do more, but he wants me to keep waiting. We are taking that little... There's, right next to the freeway, there's a little circle, or, I don't know, just not kidney shape, but that's where we're going to put our parking structure at, right there, and that, our parking, sorry, parking spots. We're going to put in roughly six, is what I was told, they can fit there. That will make it a driveway that you will enter in and exit out the other. We're also going to put some overflow parking on the further side, so this, the one that you come out would be an in and out right there. So that will give us parking. And then on the daycare, we're going to put a fence in the front. And the reason behind that is, for my preference, mainly, I want to be able to have a gate where the kids have to go through, a door where the kids can go through, and another gate to keep them from the highway because we're right there. So that'll give them three things before they actually get to it. And then we'll have a backyard as well. All will be gated in. So.
Okay.
So you're saying you're putting a play area
in the back,
the front,
no,
or just in the back?
The player will be in the back, but I want a gate in the front just so for safety.
So when they get there in the morning, they have to go through that gate?
Yes.
Okay.
They're going to go through that gate, and then they're going to go through the front door, and then I will also have another gate on the other side. Okay. Just because I know children, they're quick, so I want to be able to watch them.
I think that's appropriate.
Yeah. Keep
thank
them
you.
Little birdies
and
there.
We are also implementing security cameras. We're going to be putting security cameras on the outside of the daycare as well as inside the daycare. My preference, again, on that one, because of the fact of being able to see what's going on. So it's always your word versus the kid's word, and I want to be able to say, this is what happened. So that was something that I wanted them to put in as well.
How many kids?
Right now, until we get the building licensed, we can only pull in four.
Okay.
After we get the building licensed, we can go in, I believe it's from four, you can go to 10. And if you get yourself licensed, then you can pull in 20.
So you're not currently licensed?
No.
Are you planning on getting licensed?
Yes. And actually, my mother's planning on getting, my mother-in-law is planning on getting licensed as well. So there'll be two licensed providers. Not on the premises always, but it doesn't have to be as long as one of the other is licensed, then we can be able to flex in and out. Both of us
so
will be there.
So if you're not there, who would be there?
She would.
Okay.
So we both would be licensed, though. So.
So the maximum amount of kids that you would have on there at one time after you get everything done would be 20?
20, I believe, is the limit, is what I've read. That's.
I assume it also depends on what ages they are.
Yes.
If you've got infants or if you've got.
Yes.
What ages are you going to be?
I would like to offer infants up to preschool. Forsyth School is able to bring in preschoolers, but they have a limited amount. So then you have your overflow preschoolers, which they just go to wherever they can go. And everybody that I've heard of is pretty full. You have a waiting list. So I'd like to go from infants. There's not a lot of infants right now. But like you said, infants are limited. You have to, your balance of infants to toddlers, you have two where you normally could bring in four. So, and that's not including your own kids, of course, but I'd like to try to figure out how to balance that out.
Okay.
You're operating now.
We are not. We are actually not operating yet. We are waiting.
You don't have the four children there.
I have children waiting.
Okay.
I've not told them we're running it, but they all know me. Prior to summer, I had people coming up to me. They knew I watch kids, you know, friends, children's or whatever, and they're like, we trust you. Can you watch your kids? I don't have a place. I can't watch anybody. That was too many kids. So my husband said, we found a place. The word got around really quick. So
you're just waiting to see how this goes and then go from
yes.
there.
Okay. Yes, we were waiting on the okay from here, and then we're going to just have fun.
Are there other... Other than the licenses for them, do you know if there's other licenses that are required? Do you know that there are other licenses required? What other licensing agencies are required?
They'll basically be the license through the state.
Yeah.
And I know you could probably speak to more of the requirements
well,
there.
Well, I have to get licensed to the state. The building itself needs to be licensed. We've also had the fire inspectors come through, and they've come through and went through and did their fire inspections. We're, again, waiting on the okay for this. We've already done some changes on the building to make them, but we are wanting to wait until we get the okay to, you know, build ramps and all the different stuff. We did already put the, we were hardwired fire. Smoke alarms. I'm like, what are those things called? but we have those already hardwired, so those are in there. And then we also have outlets already for safety, because when we first went into it, we're like, well, let's get as much as we can get in it, even if you were to rent it to someone else. So we got the safety plugs and different things like that already in.
So nobody's going to live in this. It's not a live-in daycare.
No.
It's
no, this is strictly a daycare.
Okay.
Yes.
And the operation hours, what I saw in there, were 6:30 to 6:30?
Yes.
6:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m.? Any other questions or comments on the concept tonight?
Explain the road to me again.
Okay. Right now it's a circle or half circle drive. So it's not going all the way around
the,
opposite to the road.
Is the up there?
And we've got
is
the...
Is that what this is?
Yeah.
I've never used one.
And it should
exciting.
Have a button on the top there.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So right here you would go in here and then you would come out here. This actually is wide enough right now, as far as I've been told, is wide enough to do an in and out.
Are you going to make that way?
Yes, this would be, and then these right here would be diagonal. These would be a diagonal parking so that they know that that's the direction it's going. And then the overflow parking would be in this area here. So so that you would come in here and you would go out there.
That would be the best way of doing it.
Yeah.
Not wanting you to show me that again.
And then here would have a fence so that the kids aren't in any danger of getting out to the road, as long as they're not, you know, really good jumpers or something. But this here, there'll be a fence here. So. Val.
Is there any regulations as far as sewer?
We did actually already talk to the sewer and we got the okay from the sewer. Yes, there was.
It's just the regulations we require, which would be the letter
from sewer.
Mm-hmm.
It's already.
Yes.
Okay. The one thing I see here, maybe this is not correct, Bob, I'm not sure, but I don't know if you can see this or not, but this shows 1.08 acres, which only encompasses about half of that driveway.
We own the property on the other side also.
Well, the part that concerns us about that, or me about that, is that you can sell that property.
No.
You can.
Yeah, technically.
You can sell either one of those properties. So, really, if we're talking about the one, and we're going to talk about parking and a circle drive, we need to include both of those properties.
We can do that.
Yeah.
The problem that
okay.
we have there,
I'll make.
The problem, we're going to fence it off. We've got horses there, and it's always been horse property for us.
Sure.
The daycare is just something that we're doing for my daughter-in-law.
Sure.
We've got equipment to do whatever we need to do. If you want us to change the driveway, we can do that.
Well, if we're going to include the driveway with the way we're talking,
yeah.
then we're going to have to include both pieces of property. Because you could sell it. I mean, you know, we've got to look down the road 50 years or whatever,
yes.
and so just not now. And so.
Yeah, we'd be glad to do that.
Whichever
way you can get your parking is fine with us. And make it work, but if you're going to use that in part of the parking, then we need to use both pieces of property.
Yes, sir.
That's a good point, yeah.
There's plenty of room for parking without crossing the other property.
So that's another option.
You could change your driveway. You could park six cars along there or eight cars without even touching the other property.
If you can meet our minimum requirements for the county and not include that, and you don't want to include that property, then that's fine. Now, they can still use that, but you have to meet our minimum requirements on the one property we're talking about to do that way.
Now, that would including it in, say if they were to put another business on it, then would that mess anything up for the daycare?
Yeah.
If they're sharing the same driveway?
You want to ask about another business, because essentially both of those parcels would then become commercial. But you would have to come back before us if you wanted to add something else commercial, let's say stables,
The only thing we'll ever do with that property is have horses.
Well.
Nothing else.
Right.
That's it.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
If you'd have to put that other property on there if you're going to use that up drive, right?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
The reason I brought that up is that lower drive is on a pretty sharp curve there, so you'd want to exit off the highway there and then go out at the other end.
Well, the other property is... The drive is actually an easement for both properties. One property cannot take the other drive from each property. It is an easement through the county that we provide for the property.
So that the turnaround of the whole street is on the highway easement?
No, it's not on the highway easement.
No,
it's an easement that we give to each property.
Okay. Yeah.
We get it.
I really agree with you on it, that it would probably be safest to go ahead and include both.
Yeah, if you can do it. It's up to you. Either way, if you want to include that in your plans, then you need to include the property.
Okay.
If you don't, then you can meet the requirements, then that's okay, too. It's really up to you how you want to do it, but we can't, just looking at it now, we can't say we're going to use that other piece and not include it in the plans because you could sell it.
That's fine.
My wife has aspirations or desires to deal with children with horses anyhow, so maybe we'll just go ahead and include it now.
Well, the one thing you would have to do is if it is included, you probably, the way we're set up today, you'd have to come back and just say, hey, this is what we'd like to do here and get our okay. But
just add it on. Just basically come back to add it on.
You could ask for it now.
I would like to get it done now as a kid so we know where we stand, or at least a vote, so we know whether to proceed where I could. Assets into finishing this daycare as a daycare.
Right.
Or are we going to turn it into something else?
I was actually referring to the other part, the horses part. If you wanted to ask for that now, you could also do that at the same time, I think.
Oh, yeah.
We could add that
yeah,
to the concept since it's concept hearing. Okay.
He's asking if you want to put
do you want to connect
the horse property on
that's
now.
That's a big piece of property that's behind that.
Then you can actually do it now,
side.
Or you can wait till later.
What do you want to do, baby?
It was not a problem. I have no problem doing it. I just don't want to create a way for my daughter-in-law's name here. We work pretty hard to get
sure. Well, and that's why we're here at Concept, just to try to get through these little issues like this that really aren't issues, so to speak, but we just need to make sure that what we're doing is proper.
I would love to turn that whole thing into for something for the ladies, for kids. So, yeah, add it all, but we have to separate it. But, of course, for safety's sake, you know, we know how to build
it. I think that's what she's agreeing to. She can't hear very well, so that's why okay. I was relaying it.
Okay.
I think you're in agreement too with that. He's saying yes. You're saying yes?
Yes.
Okay. That's yes.
Okay. Well, then get with Bob, get with the
okay.
office,
okay.
and make the changes you need to make there.
Okay.
And then we'll just proceed.
Okay.
You know, we don't, there's no need to hold that up. It's just a matter of adding that in, and you're really
okay.
not doing anything different at this time. If later you decide you want to do something with stables or whatever, you just have to come back the way it's set up today anyway and ask for that.
Okay.
Specifically, that specific use.
Yes. And he said, all you do.
You'd have to do that anyway. Either way, you'd have to do it. So, you know, we're really not.
Come back and ask.
Yeah.
I think, in all fairness, though, you should realize if you take it all commercial, your taxation will change on your property.
Yeah.
So take that into consideration. I'm not telling you what to do.
I think he's got something coming.
I have a question.
Good point, Dave. Thank you.
I have a question.
Yeah.
The property that's outlined there, is it a separate deed from the rest of the property, or is it all together on one deed?
It's all in. It's all separate deed, separate property, but in the family.
Yeah, it's okay. separate deeds, but we own both sides.
The 1.08 acres, it's got its own deed,
yes.
correct?
Yes.
Well, another option you could do.
It has its own easement to hold the property.
Okay, what you could do is come along the highway there if you want to use that other driveway and just deed it to this property here. Make it one property in an L shape and leave the rest of it alone.
Mm. Or square it up or however you want to do it
yeah.
to avoid all the taxes.
Yeah.
Is that a mobile, right, is that a mobile home there I see in the picture?
It's no longer. The mobile home's no longer there, that one that's
okay.
it's in the picture. It's no longer there. That one that's on the side, it's gone.
Well, you know, I think the easiest way out of this would just deed you a 50-foot area up there that runs past that driveway, deed it to this property here, and then have an easement to the other property off of that.
That would keep the
driveway.
Rest of that agriculture or
and
residential
that all
whatever
agriculture.
It is now.
I think it actually, I think, if I'm not mistaken, my husband's out in the hallway, but I think.
So break those, if you start messing with property lines, you ask Bob, then it has to become a subdivision.
Right.
Because you're altering lines.
Yeah.
It's not a simple process like you said.
We've already
no,
got an easement.
Yeah.
We've already got an easement for both properties.
I'm sure that's been subdivided
yeah,
so
yeah.
before.
And truly, if you're going to pursue that with therapy for kids, with horses and whatever, I'd do it all,
let's do it
right
all.
Up front and get
idea.
It over. And that way you're not coming back to the trough time and time and just do it.
Get with the office and make the changes you need to make, and I think we can
yeah.
proceed forward on that.
Yeah.
And then you all can decide with him which way is the best way to go on that. But we need to do something to include that.
Find out whether we can do a daycare there, so we can. So
all
yeah.
of this at the same time. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not delaying anything.
He's saying just, yes. He's,
yeah. yeah. We've got a couple more meetings to get there.
Yeah.
But
yes, sir.
Yeah, but yes, we're going to move. We're going to continue to move forward with that. There's just a couple things you'll need to change.
Are you Tanya?
Yes.
Okay.
yeah.
Well, I'm trying to keep people straight here.
No, that's fine. Yes, I understand. That's okay. Yeah, that's why I have her standing here, because she's also going to be helping me, but I'm going to be the one, like he said, this is my gift of fun to do, and that's her gift of fun to do. So, yeah, that's why he wanted to make sure. So,
okay.
Yeah, but together we're going to be working on this together.
Now, have you started the licensing? Have you started that procedure yet with the state?
My husband made me wait. So just because he didn't want me to get into it, because he knew that if I did, I would find a way to run a daycare. And he said he wanted to run a daycare in a daycare, not in our home. So he wanted me to wait. So,
I'm waiting on your approval before
yes.
we continue to what the fire department said. We've got to build a ramp, or we want to build a ramp. There's things that we're going to do.
I don't want that thing up last
Wednesday. Without y'all's approval, we're going to go a different way. We're just going to turn it into a daily rent, or a monthly rent.
Don't go there.
Yeah, that already happened earlier.
When you come back, and I don't know if this is possible, can you outline where you're putting the fence? Can you give us a drawing?
Is it not on there?
There's in this one.
Is it?
It's.
My husband put it in there, I believe.
Is this the
yes,
fence?
The front fence. That's the front fence.
Parking.
And then the back fence is behind there. Okay. That's the only one that was not marked was the front fence, I believe.
Okay, yep. So the 60-foot by 10-foot
yes.
is a fenced-in area.
Yes.
Okay. Going to be.
Going yes. to be. It is not there that, yet.
That's fine.
Yes. Yes. He's making me wait so we can put it up.
Any more questions? Okay. Thank
All right.
you. We'll see you next month.
All right. Thank you.
All right. And the next up for concept is Spirit Hill Air Park. Eddie Wolf.
Me.
Eddie.
This is a piece of property down in Ray's neighborhood, down Cedar Creek. It's part of Rick Persinger's, one of his properties down there. And we're proposing on this, it's a very large piece of property. And I don't know if any of you know where the old fire tower is. I know Ray does. Down there it used to be erected down there now. I think all they've got there now is like a satellite, like a GPS or something there for, I know they've got something fastened up there on a pole where the old tower sat.
Yeah, the tower ain't there anymore.
No, but the Conservation Commission has got a monitoring device of some kind there on a pole. And, that property there sits right in the middle of this on 3.95 acres there, and the existing road that goes in there was built, I guess, by the Conservation Commission, I don't know how many years ago, back probably in the 30s or 40s, I'd say, and that road's being left in, you know, intact where it's at, just improved all the way through there because they got permanent easement on that up to the tower. That, but on the... On this here, you know, the highway's out here, that's a state highway. We've got this entrance coming in here, and that is, we've got a permit by the state to use that there. It's got a good sight distance and everything there. And then the main road come all the way back in here, and it is presently platted. And we've done a minor subdivision right down here on 6 lots right in there. And that's already recorded and signed off by the county there. We've done that right up front. So what we're doing is asking for, there's 148 lots, I believe, total in the whole thing. And these are all 5-acre tracts or larger. And this will be the where the airstrip will sit right through there. It's 5,200 feet long.
Is and this it, not, this is totally different airstrip, totally mm-hmm. different everything than that's?
Same owners.
I know, but is it, are we talking about some of the same property?
No.
Okay.
No, this property here has not got, is not contiguous with anything
that we talked about in the last year or two.
No,
it's
four or five the last four or five years, or
it's
6 years.
However long.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This here was all owned, the total property is owned by Rick Persinger, including this up here. And I think there's about 1,100 acres in the whole deal, isn't it, Ray?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you go down there to the property, like right up in here, probably one of the best building sites I've seen in years. I mean, that thing has got a panoramic view of Bull Shoals Lake down those valleys. It's just take your breath away. And you can see all the way to Highway 160 to the west, to the east from there. And you can see, I don't know, down Bull Shoals a long ways.
Close your eyes, I'll let you.
Yeah, and then you've got the outline of the mountains that go around this thing. It's just like a rise around it. That's how high it is down there. And it's kind of unique down that area because there's not very many hills that are that high. But anyhow, in this, they formed an LLC with Rick Persinger and Tammy Warner to where this property is being held under Spirit Hill LLC. And they have pulled grading permits and everything to do the runway, and it's virtually built. I mean, they've got the grading almost done on it down there where those six minor sublots are, because this ridge line that runs through here, it's so flat down there that it takes very little grading to put it in. And that's what made this really attractive for what they wanted to do, because they ran into the problem and raking a test of this down at the other one down there, that they had that big ravine that they've been trying to fill down there for years and haven't ever got it done. But anyhow, this here is where the airstrip is. They're going to have hangars. It's kind of hard to see on that one, but there's hangars right in there. And there are going to be some more hangars down at the end of this area here that will actually be where people can, that own up in here, can actually put their planes in there. And then they're going to allow, in the restrictions for all these properties that border the airstrip there, to be able to put a hangar where they can pull off the airstrip, put their plane in there, and then have their house below.
So the hangar will be residential storage for planes, no commercial use?
That's right. Everything will be for private use, people that own in there. That's what it'll be for. There won't be any commercial activity there at all. Now, if the developer builds these hangars up here, then they will charge rent to the people in there to keep the hangars and stuff. That'd be the only commercial activity they'd be, would be that.
Okay.
You know, just to recover the cost of the buildings or whatever they do there. But all the road right-of-ways in here are 50-foot. Every lot in there is 5 acres or larger. So we're going to put septics and wells on every one of them. DNR approves. We can subdivide 10,000 acres if we wanted to in 5-acre tracts, and DNR doesn't care. That's their rules. So in there, actually, you know, everything meets DNR regulations as you look at it right there. And they just got, what they got to deal with DNR is be sure that they pull all the disturbance permits for the roads when they build them in there to reseed and post a bond on that. As far as I know, unless you know something else, Bob, that's all they got to do in there if they get approval from the board here to construct.
Yeah, that's really the extent of it. You're exactly correct. If it's 5-acre tracts or larger, they're looked upon as being exempt from the DNR subdivision regs. Mm-hmm. And so even though it is a large subdivision with a large number of lots, it doesn't require DNR approval because it's exempt, basically. Now, exactly like he said, it would still require a land grading permit both through the county and through the DNR. But as far as the subdivision itself, it wouldn't require their approval.
Okay. Then we're leaving a big area here that might eventually be a golf course built on. That's what she's proposing there. I really doubt they'll ever build a golf course in there. It'll probably get subdivided. If that's the case, we'd have to come back to you to do that.
But you're not asking for a golf course today. You're just asking for
green. Today, we're asking for approval to put a golf course there, yes.
Okay, I didn't see that on the thing. But
I didn't fill out that. She did. We've got it on the drawing. And, in fact, she filled it there out of Bob's office there that day, I believe, when we met there.
I think so.
I had a bit bigger drawing.
So the only rental storage unit, so to speak, would be
the hangars.
Hangars.
Mm-hmm.
So those could be.
Hey, if you got another drawing that size, have you got any copies of that?
You can have this one if you want it. I mean, I'll just trash it. So you're welcome to look at it if you want to see one that's bigger.
You can probably show me, where's the fire tower be?
Right here. That little dark area there is where the fire tower is at. This is the road that goes right up into it.
Well, does she own that land now, or it doesn't say that?
The fire tower?
Yeah.
It's an exception out of the deed. That's why it's got a dark line around it. It's a boundary line. The Conservation Commission owns that.
Yeah, I know it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's not part of the subdivision.
What about right over here? Does this go all the way to the core here?
No, there's land past that.
Okay, I didn't know whether that's included or not.
No, there's a... Actually, if you go up there, have you been up on the old place, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been. I know where
it's the big field up there at the end there. It just goes to the end of that big field and stops. Then I think there's another 40 or 80 onto the core there.
Well, that guy owns quite a bit of land right in there.
there's several owners right in that area that some of them's got 80, some of them's got 40s. They're all fairly large parcels down there.
It doesn't list the owner of that 39 acres. That's what I was reading. I was asking if it was included.
Which 39?
Where the fire tower was at.
Oh, that 3.95 acres?
Yeah, when you look at that, it looks like it's all part of the...
Well, the way we designate tracks on drawings is when you see a heavy dark line, like you got around the outside here, if you look at our drawings, there's a heavy dark line there, and that's what we represent as transition of ownership, is those dark lines.
I agree with you, but I can't tell much of a difference there.
You can see it very plainly on there.
One thing that'll help, too, I've just scanned this one in, and I think...
I can send him an AutoCAD drawing.
They're always really good about emailing those, and when I pull those in, it'll be a little sharper before the next meeting.
Okay, Eddie, did you say there might be some possible commercial rental for hangars?
Up here, right there, is a hangar area.
Okay.
And there's a hangar area, and those will be available if the need comes to build hangars in where people could actually put their planes in.
Okay, but if...
If they're going to rent those, that would be commercial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if that's supposed to be a private airstrip, then...
It would be owned...
It would be for, like, somebody up here who owns a lot up here to put their plane in, or...
My understanding is the people that build in here will have the right, you know, to use it. Now, I think she did tell me that if a loaner in the other one wanted to land a plane here, they could... because the other strip isn't done. But I don't know if they do, they'll have to set it somewhere off to the side, you know, tie it down or something. Because we've got the big runway here, we've got the grass strips. You know, it's a very large area there that they're going to land in. So there could be a plane put in there from the other place.
Okay, so does that need to be amended then to possible commercial rental for hangar? Hangar rental for planes, does that need to be added to the application?
It probably wouldn't hurt to go ahead
and... rental of any kind.
Sure she's going to charge, you know, put planes in there. I mean, you know, why wouldn't you? I mean,
then
if you're going to build a building, they're very expensive to build.
I'll make sure she amends the application, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any more questions?
Partnership between her and Rick?
Ray? I know probably about as much about that as you do.
Well,
all I know is both of them is involved in it, and Rick owns the land, and she's selling the property into lots. And
not
I think
yet, I hope.
Well, here
the minor subdivision, she can sell all six of them. It's platted.
Well, those six, but not all 142.
She can take reserves on the rest of them if she wanted to. There's nothing wrong with that. You can't do anything until it's approved by the board as far as platting or transfer of title.
They're all going to be the correct shape and all that stuff. Okay.
It will be platted. It won't be like the other one.
Okay.
Eddie, I fixed the other one.
I believe you.
The reason I ask you that question is that she told me that she bought 485 acres, I think it was, and she had an option on the other 500 or something.
My understanding is this area
now,
from right here, is what she physically bought, and their partnerships on the rest of it together with options.
Well, I looked on the application, and I only see her name on it.
Now,
and we're plotting the whole thing, and right now I think it belongs to Rick.
Well, Rick signed the application.
I did have the same concern. We actually had him come in and sign the application. It may have been after, I don't know, after the packets were sent out, because I had the same concern as well. Eddie Wolf's exactly correct. It's my understanding that she has purchased a portion of the property. But
I think it separates right at that line right there.
So we've got signatures from both landowners, or all landowners involved?
You have Rick's signature, too. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah,
to further that, when we done the minor subdivision plat, Spirit Hill LLC, I believe, was the LLC they used. Tammy signed for Spirit Hill LLC, then Rick signed for Persinger Trust or something like that.
I believe that's right, yeah.
Because, see, he owned the property where the road set coming to it, so So they both had to join in the execution of the plat so that we could plat it correctly in there, and that's what we did. Both of them signed, and you know, Bob looked at all that and everything because it's already recorded.
And from what I understand, Benita, there is a golf course on, not on our packets, but that was included. So the other thing that we see that needs to be included is the commercial
hangar
rental.
I believe everything that's on the drawing is what we're trying to represent to us for approval, and that's the two hangars. And it's all up here in the residential lots.
No, it's okay. Thank you.
And like I said, I'll send Bob over a PDF or an AutoCAD drawing to where he can get it up there where you can see it better. It's a large piece of property that's you're trying to put on a small piece of paper.
Okay. Any more questions?
You talked about the other airport that has not been completed. Mm-hmm. Has it been straightened up, or is it just a real big mess?
I'll tell you what I know about it is back probably a year and a half ago, Eddie Cossey, when he was administrator, came over to my office, and they were having a lot of trouble with Tammy with the way things were deeded, and the assessor was having all kinds of problems. They had all these deeds. They didn't know where they went or what they did, or yet owners that were disgruntled and everything. So the county actually hired me to go in and tell them what this was on paper. So I went in and plotted all these deeds to find out where they went, if there was easements to them or whatever. I had a 3-page list of items that were violating the code out of this subdivision that these other people had done. So she couldn't get a plat recorded or anything because all this was in violation. So she came over to the office and asked me if I could straighten up the problem so they could get a plat recorded. And I started telling her that, you know, you're going to have to deed property back to people. They're going to have to deed it back to you because some of the lots have been sold, parts of lots have been sold twice. The surveyor had big gaps. He had one property that was supposed to be by the airstrip that was in the lake because he came off the wrong point of beginning. That's the kind of problems they had. So I went in there and done all these legals to transfer all these deeds and everything, give them to them. She was out of town, had a lady handling. Well, they went in, had the landowner sign all this stuff back to them. Then this other lady didn't know what she was doing. She turned around and deeded it all back to them. So we had to start over again. And so anyhow, that all got straightened up. We have platted 3 phases, I believe, of it now.
I think all
of that that's platted is correct. There's no gaps, overlaps. There's easements to every lot. And there's one lot that sits in the very northeast corner that is not platted to, but we give them a 50-foot written easement, deeded it to them so they could get to their property. And then they'll become part of the plat. As far as I know, the other one is not complete on the ground, but it's currently to Taney County's code. It's not in violation of the code by the way it's platted or anything at this point.
What about the land disturbance, though?
The land disturbance, as far as I know, there's one filed.
The DNR recently on the runway, they actually released their land grading permit, which did surprise me a little bit, to be completely honest with you. But the DNR did release their land grading permit on that runway. One of the other things that was corrected, too, that I wanted to bring up is the DNR on that one did approve a minimum lot size, too. Mm-hmm. And basically, Eddie Wolf's corrected that. A number of these lots, for example, were originally deeded as one-acre lots, and he's basically had to add acreage to them from memory.
I think it's 3.41?
Something like that.
It's over 3 acres, but she had sold people 1-acre tracts. And you're only allowed to do, you know, that even violates Taney County's code for a septic tank. So she turned around and has deeded these people, some of them over 2 acres, just give it to them so she could get in compliance because the planning was poor and everything on it with what they did. And I don't know if Bob knows, but you can talk to Eddie. This surveyor, he wouldn't plat anything. He had meets and bounds it. It violates the code completely. You plat stuff. And that's what the code says. And he wouldn't do that. He'd just write a legal description, they'd transfer it, and write, you know, send them a bill, and that was it.
Well, now, Eddie, the original plans that we approved here before planning and zoning was to have two sewer plants in, and those lots were drawn out to comply with our code.
Mm-hmm.
Small lots, and she couldn't sell the small lots and couldn't put the sewer in, so she went selling bigger lots.
Well, the thing is, Ray, you know what? I could bring any subdivision through and ask for small lots, and there's nothing wrong in the code to turn around and go back to DNR and say, you know, it's not working. What is the minimum lot size we can do on this for septic tanks and wells? And that's what she did. Now, I'm not saying that what she said was wrong at all about putting a sewer plant in. She still intends in one area to do that. But the density level in there where units approved it originally has went down dramatically because we went into larger lots, which is better for the area.
We're getting a little bit off track here is where we're supposed to be.
We're not talking about the other one, but since he asked that question, I just wanted to explain to him so he knows that she has made an effort, because there have been a lot of words said that probably shouldn't have been said at different times, but she is in compliance with the code on the other project and everything. And this here will all be platted. Nothing will be meets and bounds. And everything will meet DNR's regulations as long as she does land grading permits as she builds roads, because that's what will be disturbed. Or like she goes in to build a hangar, then they need to be one pull on those because it will exceed 1 acre of disturbance.
Okay. Bob, what kind of bonding will be required here on this? Any?
There will have to be a land grading bond that will have to be submitted. And basically it gives us the authority to go anywhere from $250 an acre to $1,000 an acre. And I believe it's supposed to be based primarily on the lay of the land, on how the land sits, on whether or not there's environmental concerns. And
okay. And that's before any permits are granted?
Well, before a land grading permit was issued.
She'll have to have a soil erosion plan done, submitted to Bob, and then everything will be...
See, we didn't do that on the other, and that's the reason I was asking.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I will make sure that she does, because, I mean, that's the only way to do it, is to make sure.
Well, she told the highway department the other day she didn't have the money to widen their driveway, so...
Ray, you know as well as I do, she'd say anything, but anyhow, that's the project.
Okay. any more questions about this project? Okay. All right.
See you next month.
Okay.
Here's your
You want this for the file?
Keep that for the file.
That'd be great, if you don't mind.
Thank you, sir.
Bob, while you're doing that, I just want to... Okay. The only thing we've got on our old new business is code amendments, right?
Yes.
I know a couple of you have came in since we started. Some of you may not know we start at 6 o'clock now instead of 7, but we have a sign-up sheet. If you do want to speak, we're going to take public comment on code amendments tonight. So if anybody else wants to speak on that, now would be the time to sign up. And then I'm going to take the sheet, and we'll get started on our public comment for that part. Everybody good? Okay. We'll take our public comment first, and then we're going to be going over some of the things that we have suggestions on. I've got two folks signed up to speak. The first one is Gail Meyer. Hi, Gail.
Hi. Don't jiggle it.
I forgot all about that. I'm too tall. Well, and these gentlemen are all here to support me. I have a real estate person, a project individual, and a resident who want to talk to some of the issues. So if you've got any questions, and we can have that, we'll try to answer questions as we go from our perspective here.
Okay.
So anyway, what I would tell you is, first of all, I appreciate you all's efforts to make some improvements and changes to the code, you all, Mr. Ashley's and Benita's, and the our specific interest has to do with the zero lot line common wall in the city of Branson. Even back to Point Royal, they had common wall, zero lot line common walls that were not condos, that were whole ownerships. And if you went to Boston or Washington, D.C., you'd see that that's been done for more than a century. And so it's not something that's new. So you're addressing that in here, that people can own their portion of the building. And where that becomes more important today is there's some things you can control and some things you can't. And the government, basically, and banking rules, I would say they're somewhat in chaos right now, but they changed some of the regulations, and so financing vehicles, in some cases, just went away for the condo aspect of ownership. So you're addressing that, and I think that's very prudent on your part. That will help some of the residents and citizens of the county, and you know, I would just tell you just to keep going. I've got a couple specific comments, and one of those has to do with lot size. And I noticed in your proposal that the minimum lot area for a two-family residential dwelling shall be 9,000 square feet. And I've got the...
What page are you on?
Well, bottom. This would be... It's page...
Look at the bottom.
It's on page 6, but it's okay. Page 14 of 107.
Okay.
It's 313.2.
Okay.
Okay. So... it suggests 9,000 square feet, and I've got the city of Branson's, and they suggest 8,000 square feet. So I guess what I would ask you to do is consider being consistent with the city of Branson, because some of these may end up being in the city of Branson at some point in time in the future. And I believe they've been successful with those in Point Royal. And then... classifications of streets and right-of-way. So it's page 8 here.
Okay.
I'm not. I guess it would be in Appendix L, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you a story. It says you have a table here, and it's a good table. I think it may be a little too simple. If we look at residential, and it says right-of-way is 50 foot and roadway width is 24 foot. When I lived in River Bluff, River Bluff's on Fall Creek Road. And there's 20, I think there's 24 houses in that, basically two dead-end cul-de-sacs. And we had about a 24, 25-foot roadway on a 50-foot right-of-way, and it basically was built out. And so you're not going to have an awful lot of traffic in there. So we had the 50-foot right-of-way. I had to come over here and get permission to put my sprinkler system, my brick mailbox and sidewalk on the public right-of-way, because if I put it on my property, it would have been 20-some-odd foot from the road. And they did that. They gave me permission. But then when I went to sell the property, that was one of the sticking points, is part of my improvements were on the county right-of-way. So what I would tell you is, in that case, it was appropriate to have a right-of-way different than 50 foot. And it also depends on where you put the utilities, and also whether it's curb or whether it's a ditch. So what I would tell you is I think you're on the right track, but I think today we have it a little bit too simple. I think there's some other alternatives. So in effect, you could be taking land from an individual that they want to improve that, you know, I guess they could let it go, but it wouldn't improve the property. You can do a better job with that, I believe. Let's see if I've got any other comments. Just one aside. I know you guys are as you're redoing these. Well, let me go back. Table 1, then, where it's my page 11, but it's Table 1, lot size and frontage requirements. What I'm suggesting to you is that the two-family dwelling should be 8,000 feet to coordinate with the city of Branson. Just one aside now. I know you all have been dealing with, in some cases, people wanting to have nightly rentals in homes out in the county. I know a little bit about nightly rentals. And What I would tell you is it might be wise for you to request from the Lodging Association their comments on maybe some criteria for that, so you don't have to make it up in any in all your particular cases. And I'm pretty sure that the legislative committee of that Lodging Association would be willing to address that, because I'm the chairman of that committee.
And I don't see anything wrong with getting those.
Okay. No, I don't.
Because there are some life safety things, and I also I do believe you need to use some common sense. In Colorado, they're very successful with renting homes in the proper and doing nightly rentals with homes in the proper ski areas and those kind of things. But also think that in some cases it can be a very slippery slope. So in closing, I appreciate you guys dealing with this, if we can help you in any way, we'd sure like to.
Well, Gail, before you leave, thank you for your comments, but I do want to let you know that I encourage you to encourage your commissioner to actually move on some of this stuff. Some of this stuff we've actually sent to the county commission before, and we did not get a vote one way or the other. So what we would encourage anybody to do is to encourage them to move on it, whether they agree or not, so they can send it back to us so we can get this resolved. We actually sent the duplex item about a year ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
And got no action.
And so is it your intent to send it again? And
absolutely. We've got some new members, so what we want to do is look at this again, make sure it's still what the commission that sits today would like to do.
Okay.
And that's what we're going to talk about. But
Can you give the public any guidance as to what would change and how you could affect change now when we couldn't a year ago?
We're going to encourage our commission to actually move on this and have action on it, and we're going to follow up a little better than we have in the past.
Okay.
Is to make sure they do something. You know, whether they agree or not agree, if they can send it back to us, if they don't agree, then we can work on it some more. For the things they agree on, we can pass and move on, because this is a living document. It can always be changed for the better with comments from the public and from the sitting commission, but we can't do much if our county commission doesn't move on it one way or the other.
I understand that. And so help me understand process. So we're commenting tonight. What else happens before you send it to the commission?
We're going to discuss tonight, and if we can get some kind of agreement on this tonight, we'll send this on to the county commission
for their
approval or not, as a page, line item by line item.
Okay.
And then if, let's say there's something they don't agree with, what we ask of them is to send it back to us to work on some more, so we can get it back to them, so we can get something that works for the citizens of Taney County.
Okay. Do you present it to the commissioner, or does Mr. Ashley present it?
We don't present it.
Okay.
That's sent in written form, I believe, to the commissioners.
Well, what I would encourage you is to consider these two changes before you send it to them. And I really believe that unfortunately, the right-of-way issue is a longer discussion than just tonight.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
I mean, I think you might be able to send everything besides that. But
I think that's our road standards.
I think what I would tell you is that I don't believe they're appropriate right now. I think we can do a better job.
And that is a longer discussion. That part would be to look at something like that. But, again, where you all can help us is to encourage your commissioners to move on this.
Okay.
That's a little, quite frankly, a little frustrating for me that we sent that and it hasn't been moved upon one way or the other.
Okay.
So.
All right.
What are the city of Ransom's right-of-way? Are they the same as this, or do they... Do you know what they
I'll
are?
I'll be honest, I don't know personally.
No. I'm sorry, and I would tell you, it's a hard issue because the topography is so different from different areas in Taney County. For example, in Whisper Cove, we have some layback curb that is, if you actually required 50 foot, couldn't happen. I mean, it just couldn't happen. And so are those nice roads in a place where there's nice domiciles? Well, yeah. And so it's a hard issue. I think we can get there. We just need to be a little bit smart about it and do the right thing.
Okay. Well, it needs to be addressed as a zero lot line, and I agree with you. They've been doing it for a long time in other communities. Okay. And,
All right. Thank you.
Good.
Jess Coker.
Good evening.
Hi, Jess.
My name is Jess Coker. I live in Stone County. However, my wife and I have separate businesses located in Taney County. We also have five different parcels of real estate that are based in Taney County. So we're basically 90% of our business is running out of Taney County. One of the inventory that we have, and this is my third meeting in front of the commission, is that we own a duplex over in Iowa Colony that we own 1/4 of two duplexes, which means they're, because of the present code, we're required to title these, obviously, as a condominium, mm-hmm. which we're required to have an association, homeowner association, declarations and dues, and et cetera, et cetera. The burden that the present code puts on an owner like me or somebody from out that wanted to move to Branson or to move to Taney County and buy a duplex, if you will, that has the proper specifications to meet the code, is the fact that financing, number one, if you finance, my wife's in the mortgage business, and she can tell you this, but if you want to finance a condominium, you have to put 30% down. You're required to pay 2 to 3% more interest on a condominium than you are on a duplex. If our unit was located in Greene County, Christian County, Stone County, we could get 100% financing on that, and we could actually get about a 2 to 3% interest rate, lower interest rate. I have been in front of two of the commissioners. And I think you'll find that they're much more receptive to moving forward with this code amendment than they have been in the past. And I realize there's been some roadblocks and so forth about moving forward on this, but I would certainly hope that, and I'm speaking for owners of duplexes like ours, of hundreds of these people who own duplexes and real estate in Taney County, that it would be a tremendous boon to the economy to be able to have people come in and buy these at reasonably, finance them reasonably, and to where we wouldn't have to four units to have a declaration, a homeowners association, and all these kind of things. So I think y'all are basically aware of this, but believe me, I've for the units that we have, I've had them resurveyed and replatted by Eddie Wolf. I have submitted that survey to Mr. Ashley. And we've also submitted the plans of these duplexes to Mr. Ashley to show they have a firewall so they would meet the specifications of setback and so forth. But I'd appreciate any consideration you guys have to help us get that done.
Okay, Jess, we appreciate that. We have heard that before. That is why we sent it a while back. And like I told Mr. Meyer, I encourage you to do the same thing, to encourage the commissioners, if we send something up, to act on it however they choose to do so, whether it's to approve it or whether it's to say we don't like this or this and send it back so we can get moving on this and just not be at a stalemate.
Well, you should have a lot more reception than you've had in the past.
Okay. Well, I would encourage you. Any follow-up you can do would certainly help, too.
I have. Believe me, I've been on top of it.
Good enough.
I have one question. Does your duplexes have a firewall?
Yes, sir, they do.
Okay. Yeah, he mentioned that. Yeah.
But I understood you say that, but I want to make it clear.
Right. Those plans have been submitted to Mr. Ashley.
Okay. Thank you, Jess. So good to see you. Do you have any copy? I don't know if everybody has a copy of this. I know you sent it a lot via email.
I was thinking the same thing. I've got a few. I didn't bring as many as I probably should.
Who needs a copy of this?
I don't have a copy.
Okay. Okay. I've got a few of them here.
Maybe you guys could share one. And
okay.
And you all can see. Don't have one. There we go. You all can share one down there.
Sorry about that. I didn't bring as many as I probably should have.
Here comes another one. Well, let's just take these. Bob, I appreciate, first of all the work you did. And I know it was a lot of work to go through some of this stuff on things that we asked and put stuff together from both submissions from 2009 and submissions from 2010. And to get that back in front of us so we can get all this back in front of the county commission as soon as possible.
Oh, I agree completely.
You know, obviously, if we need to take some more time after tonight, that's what we'll do. But what I would like to do is items we can agree on to send on, let's send it on.
Okay.
And anything else, you know, that's my goal tonight, is to try to get that done so we can move forward, because obviously there are a lot of folks out there that would, for lots of different things, not just the duplexes, but lots of different things that need some changes made. Do you want to take us through these?
I was just going to ask you the same thing. I didn't know customarily how you went through these.
Why don't you do that? Call them by page number down there, and then also the pages in our book.
Okay. Just go over the changes. Okay. And just to spell out, of course, from the start, essentially pages 1 through 3 are new proposals, new proposed changes. There's not a great deal of them. Basically, from page 4 through the end of the document, they're primarily code changes from 2009 to 2010.
Things that we had submitted. And we wanted to look at again, because we do have quite a few new folks on the commission, to make sure that that's still
exactly
the way we want to send stuff. Okay.
Part of the concern, part of the reason I put them back in this format, was I wasn't certain in a few cases where in the book some of the changes were proposed. Unfortunately, we weren't able to locate an electronic version of this, so we tried to put this back together. But basically on page 1, 68 of 107, as the commission knows, we had a real concern with buffering. And the biggest thing was we had one area of the code book that spoke to a 40-foot buffer. We had another area that spoke to a 25-foot buffer. And just to try to ensure that we had one standard, the staff was basically proposing a 25-foot buffer versus a 40-foot, but we took it a little further than that, too. We wanted to have a little bit more leeway, or we wanted the Planning Commission to have a little more leeway. And so what we're basically proposing, of course, all the items that have a strike through, we're proposing to delete. All the highlighted items we're proposing to add. But basically, it used to say that the use of a wall or fence as part of the buffer is an option, but will not reduce the required minimum width. We felt like that was too restrictive. And so we were proposing the verbiage, and this can be modified too, but we proposed something along the line of a privacy fence, wall, landscaped earthen berm, or other screening device found to be appropriate by the Planning Commission may be utilized in lieu of the required 25-foot wide landscape buffer. If an alternative form of buffering is proposed, the applicant should submit a detailed plan indicating all the features to be utilized in order to obtain Planning Commission approval. This alternative buffering plan shall be submitted upon application for a Division 3 permit. And so basically, in some of these instances, we were having cases where if you had to have 25 feet of buffering on each side, the whole lot may not be much more than 50 feet wide. And so it just, in some cases, isn't feasible. And so this would allow for other things that the Planning Commission felt were appropriate, whether it was a fence or a wall or, whatever it was that was felt to be appropriate.
Okay.
That's really it.
I want to take these one by one. So.
Okay.
Any questions or comments on that, or suggested changes or thoughts?
I believe it's a good idea. I mean, if you're putting a buffer zone up, I don't see how a fence wouldn't be a better option.
There are certainly times when it has been in the past.
Yeah.
I need to give you a comment. I think the wording is really well done.
Okay.
I think we need to just vote on each.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. I think what I would like to do is take a motion on 6.1.3 changes. That's where all the changes are in that one.
Okay.
So I would entertain a motion for that.
I make a motion that we accept it as written, rewritten.
Okay.
Regarding the buffering alternatives.
Okay.
Okay, I'll second that.
Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Let's move on. The next one is actually 7407. I mean, that's actually a different section. So I know you kind of talked about
it. And basically, in that case, we're just proposing to replace 40 feet with 25 feet.
So we're consistent throughout.
So that it's consistent throughout the code book.
Okay. I've entertained a motion on that.
We're on the same one, right?
74 of, oh, sorry, it was table J2.
Okay.
On page 74 of 107. And the change is changing from 40 feet to 25 feet of buffering. We had both in there. We're just trying to be consistent all the way throughout. Typo somewhere, that's my guess. Got that? Okay. I'd entertain a motion.
I'd make a motion to accept it and put 25 foot throughout.
Okay. Second? I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Let's move on.
The change is basically on page 2, and we can always look at the verbiage here too, but just to explain this a little bit, as the Planning Commission knows, at the end of this year, the Taney County Regional Sewer District is going to become an autonomous entity. They're going to become their own separate entity, and as a part of this, the Planning Commission is actually doing on-site wastewater inspections now. And in some cases, in a lot of places, the book referred to basically getting a permit through the Regional Sewer District. Well, in some cases, that's still the case. But in some cases, it's actually the Missouri DNR. In some cases now, it's the State Health Department. And so we just wanted to leave it a little more wide open and just say the applicable wastewater system permitting entity.
Okay, so in 11.1... 11.2 and Appendix B, the changes you're making are is basically a verbiage change from Taney County Regional Sewer District to applicable wastewater system permitting entity. That way it covers
exactly
a verbiage change.
Exactly, and it's meant to cover any entity that may apply to. There was just a concern that somebody might bring that up as a, you know, and basically state, well, it says all I have to have is a permit through the Regional Sewer District, but...
Okay.
I had a verbiage thing that I would like to bring up on that. On each one, I see you changed it the same way each three times. On 11.1 and second number two in parentheses, you say developer shall produce a permit. I think that needs to be obtained. Developers shall obtain a permit from the applicable wastewater system permitting entity to ensure adequate, non-detrimental, and code compliant water waste or wastewater disposal. Well, I just think it's protecting the environment, and I feel pretty strongly about adding that
trees.
Deer. Turkeys.
I don't know if we need to add the stuff about code compliant in there.
Well, I think that it covers our bases and it should be code compliant.
Well, that's what this is a code book.
But it's code compliant from the applicable wastewater system permitting.
Isn't that what the permit says? That they're code compliant?
Well, to make sure that to ensure...
You can't obtain a permit if you're not code compliant.
Well, it just kind of seals the envelope, by golly.
We've already got a lot of words in there.
So can we, to ensure adequate and non-detrimental, can we at least put water waste disposal?
I don't know what that adds.
Sean... It just, to me, it protects, it just adds another layer of protection.
Obtain a permit.
And I'm not a green person. I'm just trying to, to obtain and take out ensuring and put to ensure adequate. I still think adequate is nebulous. I think adequate. And code-complying wastewater disposal. We'll take out, I'll concede on the non-detrimental, but I think it should be to ensure adequate and code-complying wastewater disposal.
I don't have a copy. I don't have anything to follow. I don't know if she's changing a word or a paragraph or a sentence.
No, I'm taking out an insuring and put to insure, which it makes it more specific and less.
I mean, from a permitting standpoint, really all you need is a developer shall obtain a permit from the applicable wastewater system permitting entity. That's really all we need.
They probably need to produce that, though, to Bob. So we need to obtain and produce that permit.
Okay.
Because Bob's not going to know.
That's true.
Yes. To obtain
it. He's got a copy.
If you got the permit, you certainly obtained it.
Yeah.
But if
you can produce it, you've got it.
To obtain and produce. Okay, that's...
We're already at 107 pages. I'm just trying to...
I still like code compliant, but that's okay.
I understand why. I do.
Oh, you don't.
Thanks, Gail. Page 2.
Okay, so to obtain and produce.
We're on at the bottom.
Yeah, it'll be.
Page 2 at the bottom.
But I think it also should put to ensure adequate.
And then 11.1, Part 2. Under the absolute policies.
Wastewater control.
Developers shall obtain and produce a permit from the applicable wastewater system permitting entity to ensure adequate wastewater disposal.
Is that in the form of a motion?
Well, I would stick code compliant in there, but... I just think, you know, in some cases, it should be re-emphasized.
Well, this whole thing is code compliant.
Okay, fine. Okay, I've got more.
Is that in form of a motion?
Could you go now and read exactly how?
Yes, okay. I make a motion.
Okay.
To change 11.1 to 11.2B and 11... Well, appendix. To all read as in the appendix number C.
Appendix B. Yeah, appendix B, part C.
Developers shall obtain and produce a permit from the applicable wastewater system permitting entity to ensure adequate wastewater disposal.
Ensuring.
Yeah, it's it should be.
Well,
to
wait
ensure.
Till you get that, and then I'll let you read it back to us.
But
you
it should be to us? Ensure it's
correct. 11.1 and 11.2B and Appendix B regarding the sewer district, Mr. Martin suggested changing the verbiage from ensuring to ensure.
To obtain and produce. It should be developers shall obtain and produce a permit.
The verb is to obtain and produce and from ensuring to ensure.
Okay, we have a motion. Do I have a second?
I will second that motion.
Okay, any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So we're on page 4.
And basically from here on out, the majority of this, I just tried to insert the same verbiage that was proposed in either 2009 or 2010. Everything on page 4 is verbiage that was proposed concerning subdivisions. It looks like most of this is for clarification, like on 5.1.1, it looks like it initially it said no more than 6 lots are created regardless of the size of the lots. These are lots created either by survey or by exclusion from survey, e.g. by meets and bounds. And what was proposed was no more than 6 tracts or lots shall be created by survey regardless of tract or lot size. The 6 tract maximum includes tracts created within the survey and also includes those tracts less than 40 acres in size created by exclusion from the survey. A survey containing not more than 6 tracts must account for all of the area in the original parent parcel of land. I think the primary intent of that was if you started out with a parent parcel and you had a remainder that fell under the 40 acres, I think the intent was just to specify in another area that would basically have to be looked upon as a tract or lot. And then on the 5.1.2, it says any tract of land measuring 40 acres or more in size that is created by exclusion from survey is not required to be included as a lot within a minor subdivision plat. However, the surveyor must indicate that all tracts created by exclusion from the plat measure at least 40 acres in size. And that goes back to both the code book and Missouri Revised Statute at the top, where it speaks to if it's a tract of land that's created that's 40 acres or less, it's basically got to be created by survey. But I think the intent was just to clarify that a little more. And then 5.1.3, originally it said, and this has always caused a little bit of confusion for me, in the current code book it says if only 2 lots are created, then both shall either have direct access to a public road with a 50-foot minimum width or a platted easement with a 50-foot minimum width that is declared to be a private road. And what was proposed on that was to say basically that all tracts created via subdivision plat either have to have access to a 50-foot minimum width or 50-foot platted easement.
Okay. And then, of course, you struck the other stuff below there that kind of had to do with the same
stuff.
A couple of things. If you go back up to 5.1, minor subdivisions, the last point there where it says lots to be served by an on-site septic system must be greater than 2 acres in area. You mean, so if a lot is 2 acres exactly, it can't be served by an on-site septic system?
Boy, I agree with you. My understanding has always been that it's 2 acres or greater.
Okay. So, but that says must be greater than 2 acres.
I agree with you.
So I think that needs to be changed to 2 acres or greater. Another question, and this came up a while back, and you know, we talk about, in a lot of places we talk about road easements and numbers and 50-foot minimum width right now is what it is. What I would like to see is a reference to a table what the minimum width is, not necessarily put the number in there, because if every time the minimum width changes, whether it would go up or down,
we have
to change that.
That's true. That is true.
And we could just change the table in one place.
Well, it's my understanding that this has already been in front of the commissioners.
It has.
To reduce it to 40 foot, and it's already been signed. It's voted on and signed, but it never has come back to anyone else.
Well, I don't know about that. I thought you were talking about this has been in front of the commissioners.
No, I'm talking about the 40 and the 50, the difference between the 40 and 50.
But see, that alone, if that happened...
That's right. I'm bringing that up in conjunction with your point, but... Mm-hmm. And that would,
I would like to see us take the numbers out of here.
Would fit a lot better.
Yeah. You know, take the numbers, the actual numbers out of there and refer to a table or minimum width or however it would be best to refer to that, so then we don't have to come back and change these anytime road easements would change. Mm-hmm. So otherwise, you've got to catch it everywhere in the book. And there's probably other places that needs to be caught, but if we could work with what we've got, we might as well make those changes now.
I agree with you.
Will this comply with the new road standards that was drafted here some time back?
Well, a little bit later on, and I'll be honest, I wasn't aware of what you had just brought up, but a little later on in this, toward the back of this, you'll actually see that in one place we're proposing to remove, there's one whole section of our current code book that speaks to road standards. But yet we've got an entire book that's basically road standards, and they didn't necessarily agree. So we're basically proposing to remove that section from our book and basically reference the road standards.
Oh, okay. So if we changed 50-foot minimum in 5.1.3 to Taney or to
per current
road standards. Would that work?
I think it would.
That cover our basis?
Our per applicable road standards.
See, we're talking about, we're also talking about, we've got an appendix in here, appendix L, that's farther, you know, page 8. Does that deal with that in that instance too?
Let's see. Sorry. On page 8?
I mean, I know this is, from what I understand, this is, it's all yellow, so I assume this is all stuff you're suggesting to add.
Well, and I'll just tell you, that chart was actually just taken directly out of this road standards book, the separate book.
Okay. So we could refer to appendix. I would almost prefer to, I would prefer to refer to appendix L.
Okay.
And then have, whether this is what we end up with appendix L or not, or take some of the suggestions of public or things change, but at least we could add it, and then, you know, we don't have to go back and change it everywhere in the book.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Well, it covers that, like you say, on 8 there on the last sentence.
And then you also have it in the note down here in the bottom of 5.1. I don't know if that's part of our code, but it also says an easement is established to accept, you know.
Yeah.
It should, that also needs to be changed to appendix L.
Okay.
My thoughts are, I can't make a motion. Right. Any other questions or comments?
I have a comment, a question, and maybe y'all can, under 5.1, and there's a note, and it says a minor subdivision of land resulting in the recording of a survey may or may not. Is that nebulous, or I don't know, may or may not is a little bit be approved.
Mean?
Well, it's iffy. I mean, it doesn't, to me, it's up in the clouds somewhere. It says may or may not be approved administratively.
We've had instances where we've wanted to hear a minor subdivision, but we've also, you know, sometimes a minor subdivision can be approved administratively. He's came to us and let us, and he's asked us and says, hey, do you want to hear this or not? Because it depends on the situation.
Okay.
And so it gives the commission and the office the leeway to do either.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it does. I just, that's fine.
Anything else on Section 5 subdivision land changes?
One more question.
Sure.
Okay. Under 5 subdivision of land, in that first paragraph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th, line down, it says the designated official can approve minor subdivisions. Should that be, are you speaking of you?
Comes back to the same thing. He can or he doesn't have to.
Yeah, it actually defines, I thought it did, but I wasn't sure. It actually does define designated official.
Okay, could that be changed to administrative official, like you've got approved administratively down in, under the note, the administrative official?
Again, it's
nebulous, and that's the only thing that, and this is something that we've been addressing. It's, you know, it depends on which side of the coin, and I think if we're a little bit more specific in certain things, it just...
I think so. Yeah, they define designated official as the administrator of the Taney County Planning and Zoning Department.
Well, but down here, you've got it approved administratively. I think, again, we're looking at consistency.
Yeah.
So change designated official to administrative official.
No, but you have a definition for designated official in the definition.
Yes,
there's a definition for that.
Yeah, there's one.
There's one. It defines that in our definition.
And I do understand, but here we've got administratively. Here's administratively.
But that's not administrator. That's administratively.
Okay. I understand. I'm talking from a clarification point of view, as opposed to the designated official. I think it should be the administrator or the...
So you're suggesting to change it in the definitions?
No, just change from designated official to make it consistent.
If we change it there, we'll need to change it in the definitions.
Well, approve admit, then it can be.
I mean,
because it's designated official.
I don't have a problem with changing it, but if we change it there, it has to be changed in the definitions. because it's defined as that person.
A designated official would be the administrator of the Taney County.
What does it say in the what does it say in the definitions?
Yeah, they define it as the administrator of the Taney County Planning and Zoning Department, or assigned delegate, as designated by the County Commission and the Planning Commission, charged with the operation of the Planning and Zoning Department and the administration of the Development Guidance Codes as directed by the Planning Commission.
So you want to change the definition?
Well, I just think it's nebulous, but that's fine. I think it should be the administrative. But it says also a that one of the commissioners could appoint somebody to be the designated official.
I'm guessing if they don't have an administrator, they're covering themselves.
Yeah, a time ago when that public came up. With
yeah, in case you don't have an administrator.
I've hammered on that before.
in that, at the very end of that
and
paragraph,
this was
though,
the best we could come up with. If you've got a better deal, why?
Well, it's just, you know, this is like it addresses Sean's thing and the thing, and I agree with him 100% about, as opposed to putting 50 feet or being specific. But there's other areas that need to be clarified, and anyway, that's my opinion. So, do you want a motion on your inserting of your code?
Almost.
Okay.
Right at the end of that paragraph that she was just discussing, you actually have Taney County Regional Sewer District in there. I assume you would also want to change that to applicable wastewater system permitting entity.
Yeah.
Yes. Didn't catch that one.
Can you spell that?
No.
All I have to do is look on the previous page. Did you not do find and replace on your computer?
No, because there's another one in here too. So.
And I didn't catch that one.
Any other questions on subdivision of land?
With the typos?
With all the changes we discussed, I would entertain a motion.
I've got one thing.
Yes, sir.
Since we're changing words, should we use the word greater on that 5.1, the very last line, lots to be served by on-site septic system?
We talked about that already.
Larger or greater?
2 acres or greater.
We changed that already.
Larger.
2 acres or greater. 2 acres or larger.
See, I'm not the only one.
Isn't there something else in the rule book, like on Glady Land and stuff like that, that 2 acres is a minimum, but it has to be approved by the...
Yeah, we're still covered.
Yeah.
Applicable wastewater...
Yeah, there you go.
It might take more than that, yeah.
It would be possible not to have a sewer system approved on 2 acres.
Right, that's why it might be 2 acres or greater.
Yeah.
It just, what it said here was greater than 2 acres.
Okay.
That's correct.
Well, I hadn't looked, I hadn't done my homework on that, but that's the way it used to be.
Yeah, it's still the same. I mean, it may be 3.2 acres.
Okay. Depending on the size, or depending on the purpose.
No, you do a soil analysis. Okay. Word. Perk is a dirty word.
I will entertain a motion, unless somebody wants to change that word.
I'm not even sure what we're voting on.
This is to put the...
Insert the
all of the subdivision of land comments that we talked about.
Okay.
Which is changing the Taney County Regional Sewer District to applicable wastewater, and then all of the highlighted stuff that we've talked about, plus the change in the 50-foot minimum width to referring to Appendix L, both in 5.1.3 and down at the notes, and changing must be greater than 2 acres to 2 acres or greater in area. Those are the changes.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Okay. We got lots of them. Okay, any more discussion? Or talk, if you like that word better. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
You.
Okay. All right, next page, page 5.
On page 5 and 6,
okay.
I'll preface this by saying the original proposal was on page 5.
Okay.
The staff put together a new proposal on page 6.
So that's why we have 214 and 17.
And so that's why there ends up being two sections here.
So this is what, the page five is what we sent, but then you've made some suggested changes that we need to look at.
Yes. Exactly, okay. And they're just suggestions. I mean, that was all it was intended to be.
Okay.
I was just proposing, we had these definitions, and of course, my thought would be that they would just be, you know, in the front of the book in the definition section. And like I said, this is all verbiage that was proposed before. Basically, for a duplex, they call it a two-family residential use in which the dwelling units share a common wall, including the wall of an attached garage or porch, and in which each dwelling unit has living space on the ground floor and a separate ground floor entrance. They define a dwelling unit as a building or portion of a building designed and used for residential occupancy by a single household. And then in parentheses, it has, this includes exclusive sleeping, cooking, and sanitation facilities. And they did define a wall just because I think the thought here was talking about a firewall, basically separating. But they define a wall as an upright structure of masonry, wood plaster, or other building materials serving to enclose, divide, or protect an area, especially a vertical construction forming an inner partition or exterior siding of a building.
I think the thought there was the wall would not, didn't have to do with the firewall, it had to do with whether you had a basement house and the bottom part was a duplex and the top part was another duplex.
Okay.
And trying to define what we considered a duplex. I believe.
I think you're correct.
I didn't know. I'm not understanding exactly what you're saying, John.
It'd be a fourplex if you did that.
Yeah.
Well, no. It was just
on the back.
Two units, a basement unit and a top unit. Mm-hmm. And I think what the commission, at least when we were defining that, was seeing was a duplex. Whether it has a basement or not, irrelevant. It's just that it was separated vertically, not horizontally.
Yeah,
we discussed that.
Yeah.
That's what we were talking about. When we were talking about a wall. That definition of a wall does not specify the firewall.
And that's where Bob went back and made that a little extra on the back.
And it doesn't say has to be vertical. It just says especially vertical, because some questions came up about whether you could have a duplex that was basically a single-family home that somebody's turned into.
Yeah, converted.
And we didn't know how to split that up exactly. And so I think that's what we went with.
Well, here's what we're talking about, the wall, is wood plaster or other building material. What are we going to have there other than a concrete firewall? Is wood plaster a sufficient firewall between the two duplexes?
If you look on down, we haven't got there yet, but in 313.3,
yeah.
We addressed that.
On the next page.
That was added on both pages, actually.
Yeah, it's on page
Five.
313.3, a one-hour fire-rated partition wall from foundation to roof decking shall be required between dwelling units. And then we referred to the definition for wall. That's why we had the definition in there.
Where you at, Sean?
On page five. Look under page 14 of 107, and you look at 313.3. Basically,
the 1 hour. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
This was what we initially sent.
Okay.
This page is what we initially sent to the commission.
Okay. I'm with you now.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead, Bob. If we move on.
That's fine.
Okay.
I didn't know how we wanted to look at this. I'll tell you essentially the difference.
Read the first one.
Okay.
If you don't mind, just
read the first. I'll just read through it. Basically, on the first one, two-family residential dwellings, it basically says all two-family residential dwellings should comply with the following requirements. 313.1, the lot size for a duplex dwelling unit, when a public central sewer system is available, shall be at a minimum equivalent to existing standards for single-family residential dwellings, and then it refers you to the definition for a dwelling unit.
Isn't that different than what we've got for the 9,000 square? What is the minimum?
Well, what was proposed here, my understanding of what was originally proposed was if it was on a septic system, each unit was going to have 2 acres. So essentially you would have 4 acres
okay.
for a duplex was my original understanding
okay.
of that. And then on 3.13.2, it says if an on-site wastewater system is required due to the unavailability of a public/central sewer system, the lot size for a duplex dwelling unit shall be at a minimum equivalent to the existing standards for a single-family residential dwellings. So basically with that, if it was on I've just flipped the two. The first one, if it's on public or central sewer, our minimum lot size is 8,000 square feet per unit or for a single family house. And so per this, it would, my understanding is that that would require 16,000 square feet for a duplex.
I mean, I read it that way. I don't really remember our intent that day, quite honestly, but it says equivalent to existing standards for single-family residential dwellings. It doesn't say for two single-family. It says for single-family.
Okay.
The equivalent
yeah.
to the standards, to me, that would be 8,000 square feet.
For a duplex.
Duplex would be equivalent to existing standards for single-family residential dwellings.
That's
okay.
Right.
We didn't put a number in there for exact reason in case those standards changed.
Okay.
But, I mean, is that how you all read that?
Yeah.
I don't read it as two.
Yeah.
It just is equivalent
it
to the standards.
To me, that means that you can
okay.
build a duplex on a
just
the same
like you would
lot.
A single family home.
Okay.
On a single
okay.
lot. If the sewer would.
Right.
If the sewer is available.
Okay.
Yeah.
Isn't that
if
correct?
If the soil evaluation was done properly.
Isn't that correct? If the sewer is, if a public
hey, you got it.
Sewer is available.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Does anybody read that differently than that?
Public sewer system.
No. It's equivalent to one single family.
Same as a single family, as
okay.
long as it's a sewer system.
Yeah.
So in this instance, for right now, it would be
yeah.
1,000 square feet.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
go on.
Now
so the same thing for the next one would be 2 acres.
Now, on that one, I don't read mm-hmm. that one that way. And I'll tell you the reason I was reading this as it says the lot size for a duplex dwelling unit. And so I was looking at each side as a dwelling unit. Shall be at a minimum equivalent to existing standards for single-family residential dwellings. And so at least the way Eddie Coxie had described it, it was his understanding that there was going to be two acres required
per side,
basically.
So that doesn't do you any good to have a duplex. Though.
Well, and that was my thought is, to me, it kind of took away the incentive for constructing a duplex. I mean, honestly.
If the sewer will suit, I don't have a problem with having a duplex on a single-family lot. If the setbacks and the sewer is suited,
you're talking about a septic.
You're over
yeah,
six.
Yeah, and if it's on a public sewer,
yeah,
Christmas, you can
and
build
I agree
as
with
many as you want, and I'm sure that that's what Mr. Myers is going to think.
Yeah, if it's on a public sewer, I think the concern was what if on. If it's on septic, what if the septic overflows or something? Who's responsible for it? It would have to be included, and we discussed this, it would have to be included in the sale that each person is half. We were trying to alleviate the need for negotiation between two homeowners.
Well,
but
the size of the lot doesn't make a difference on that.
But if you've got... You have to have two septic systems as opposed to...
If the well breaks down, the agreement is we got to fix it.
Well, I'm a little confused here. When you look over on 6, 14, page 14, 107, 313.2, the minimum lot area for all two-family residential dwellings should be 9,000 square feet, period.
This is his suggested change over to what we did. They're both... the same area, or the staff's making those suggestions. This
okay.
is not what we came up with to begin with.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
And I think we want to avoid numbers anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
We get around to it, but if we
And I think the primary concern I had, and we've seen this in instances, was really what Susan Martin was getting at. basically, and I didn't know what the feel of the commission was. The primary difference was we were really proposing to put two-family and multifamily on either central or public sewer, basically, because there was a concern if we had a septic failure, a lot of times when you've got two separate owners, you have a difficult time getting one owner or the other to basically rectify the situation.
Then maybe that's a case where I hate to not give somebody the opportunity to put a duplex up if they have 4 acres and want to do it. But maybe that's an opportunity to look at that, because I understand what you're saying. You really couldn't hardly have one septic system if the other family decided not to pay.
Well, it's just like a well agreement, and there's tons of well agreements between two owners. When they sell that piece of property. Mr. Myers, would you like to speak?
Is that all right with the commission?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right on, and I'm not exactly sure that I know the answer, but I believe that if you put a line in there that says two-family and multifamily buildings must be governed by a document that covers common interests, then, because I'll give you the example, well, if this guy pays his insurance and this guy doesn't, the place burns down. Okay. Then what about this guy who paid his insurance? Are they going to build half the duplex? So you really need to have a document that covers common interests in order to get funding. So that could be well, that could be...
It could be sewer, it's got to be insurance, it's got to be whatever, joint.
And I'll think you get into those details, but when it goes to be permitted, there needs to be a document that oversees common interests.
But you put a document like that in place, and one homeowner, for some reason or another, is not too successful in his daily living, how are you going to enforce?
You know, nothing's perfect.
I know, I understand.
With the document, it helps at a civil level.
I'm looking for answers here.
But I think, you know, and so what this gentleman's talking about with the homeowners association, even though they get to own each side, they're still going to have some sort of an association or some common agreement between what color the building gets painted or who fixes the roof when. And so if you just placed in there that there has to be that document, what would that do is it would make nobody go out and build a duplex and sell both sides with nothing. They'd have to have something in place
absolutely. That
would protect the public.
When one side runs out of money, that's the end gate. I don't care. You can have all the paperwork in the world.
That's right. Yeah,
but I assume it wouldn't hurt to have that paperwork in there.
It wouldn't hurt, but it's not going to help.
What it would do is it would keep those people who... there would be some level of understanding between the two folks.
So
everything would not be a negotiation.
What was the suggested wording, if you remember, Gail, that you suggested?
Well, there needs to be a document in place that covers common interests.
Well, doesn't the same thing apply to condos and that?
Well, and that's a declaration of condo.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We cannot state condo in this.
That's
what
right.
We're trying to achieve is getting these things to where they'll finance.
That's right.
Yeah. And if it says condo in it anywhere, the banks will not do the deal.
Yeah. I think what Ray is saying is that you could have the same problem in a condo association that,
right,
that Dave suggested. Yeah, somebody runs out of money or five people run out of money.
Yeah, but a condo is not going to be on a septic system either.
But then
what have we got for a condo?
Sure they can. A condominium style of ownership could
well,
be
well,
on
it
but they're
going to
be on several.
It's connected to the sale of that property if it's repossessed or whatever the circumstances. Somebody has to be obligation.
Yeah, and there's a difference between a declaration of condominium and a home.
I don't know if you've dealt with those much since you've been here.
No.
And so in this case, you wouldn't have a declaration.
It's not necessarily.
You have some sort of basically a property
association
or a
style ownership.
That's what you call it.
It's not a building style.
If I were you guys, I wouldn't get into those details. I would just produce a document.
Right now, we have to do style ownership.
Townhouses, the same thing.
Yeah. Patio homes.
Yeah, right.
You're on the right track.
But what we were discussing, because I remember this, because I used to live in a triplex, and I was a single person, and there was a family of six, and they flushed diapers and whatever down, and, you know, and it was to protect each individual homeowner. If you've got your own septic system, then if it goes, then you're responsible for it. And I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just saying I distinctly remember this discussion.
when we talked about this, was to protect each homeowner, and also to the builder, so nobody could go back and sue them for not protecting the homeowner. I mean, you know, we're, of course, as we love to litigate so much, it's, you know, it's kind of a gray area, but we can't cover all the bases. But that was the reasoning behind, if it was on a septic system for 4 acres, to accommodate both sides, so each side would have their own septic system.
No, I'm not against the paperwork.
I know what you're saying. Yeah. Just what do you do if we can't fix it all?
What do you do?
And it is true.
No, I mean, I'm not against the paperwork. Because
then they have to be litigation in court at that point.
That supports you if you have to go to court and everything. But still, if you go to court and there isn't any blood in the turnip pot.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly.
That's all we can do is do our best to protect.
That's right. That's all we can do.
Well, and we cannot say that if you're not on public sewer, you can't have a duplex.
No,
like
I
just can't
say
that.
You
can't.
But you can make contingencies for two septic systems.
Well, I think you should be, too.
Okay.
See how you can share it. I don't see two. Well, you need two separate things.
Yeah, I don't see it.
I don't see it.
So, what do you all think the minimum?
So, you're going to make the lot size the size of for two houses? And if you do that, there's no reason to do it, duplex. Might as well say no duplexes on septic systems.
Well, and I'll tell you, in reading back through 3.13.1, the way I read that again, because it says the lot size for a duplex dwelling unit. And when you look at the definition of a dwelling unit, to me, each side is a dwelling unit, the way that's written right now. And so, basically, a duplex would have to be built on, if it was on public or central sewer, it'd have to be 16,000 square feet. And exactly what he's saying, that was my...
No, you're reading the wrong one again. That's,
no?
You're reading the wrong
not
one.
Ours.
No, it would have to be 4 acres.
Well, no, I mean... Even if you read 3.13.1, where it talks about a public or central sewer system, it's still speaking to a duplex dwelling unit. And not, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where either way, it's requiring...
So if we struck, if we didn't want, I mean, on a central sewer, if you wanted to leave it at 8,000, then you could strike the words dwelling unit.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
That I think that was my primary concern is realistically, I think I had the same concern as Mr. Caudill. I was concerned that it just wouldn't be realistic if they had to go for something that large.
Okay.
You know, if they,
well,
now you're talking about one on the central sewer right now.
Because to me, either way right now, the way it's worded, it's talking about... having to have the same acreage for one side as you would for a house or for a single family residence.
But if it's on a central sewer, to me you can build a two family dwelling unit on the minimum lot size that we require. I think that's.
I don't disagree.
Yeah. Because that would negate the possibility of conflict between the two owners.
Yeah. Okay. So, is anybody opposed, does anybody have any discussion about striking on 3.13 or 3.13.1 the words dwelling unit out of there, so it would read a lot size for a duplex when a public central sewer system is available shall be at minimum equivalent to existing standards for single family residential dwellings. That would basically say if there's central sewer available, then a duplex can be built on the same lot size as a single family home.
Yeah.
And I don't see any problem with that.
Okay.
Sean, are you reading the original and not the newly proposed?
We are reading the original and not the newly proposed. Yeah, on page 5.
One thing, too, just to clarify, we probably should remove the please refer to the definition of dwelling unit, too, because at
yeah.
that point there wouldn't be a,
oh, yes. yeah.
a reason.
Okay. And then on 313.2, we've got if an on-site wastewater treatment system is required due to the unavailability of a public central sewer system, the lot size for a duplex dwelling unit shall be at a minimum equivalent to existing standards for single-family residential dwellings, which today would basically mean 2 2-acre lots. Mm-hmm. So if that's where the commission wants to stay on that, that could be. We could look at changing that to something different, and then I think we would need to be specific, reword that completely and be specific about lot size if someone would entertain something like a 3-acre lot for that, if you thought that was possible. It may not even be possible.
Can we do that?
With our wastewater entity, public, whatever those words are.
How are you going to get around the regulations of the sewer department, though?
They're going to have to sign off on it before a permit would be done.
Do they? And they right now, do they? What do they permit for a duplex?
2 acres,
I know we,
as far as
we,
I know.
We don't have them on.
For both sides?
Or a condominium. Yeah, because we've got some in the
both
county.
Sides.
Iowa Colony. Those are in the county.
No.
Now the...
Are they on Central Sewer? The ones on Iowa Colony?
Yes.
Yeah, I bet they are.
Are they on a treatment plant?
I think they are.
No, I bet it's on Central Sewer.
We built condos in the county, duplexes.
Your Central Sewer or your...
Central Sewer.
So we're looking for some that are
on septic.
I'd say
the
requirements of it. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say the vast majority, I think, are either on treatment plants or on public sewer.
Yeah, treatment plants.
So we could leave that alone and give somebody an option if they really wanted to build a duplex on today, it'd be 4 acres. But it does, I mean, it's better than not even giving them an option.
Okay.
I mean, not that they would want to do it, but there's a reason to not give them the option.
Here's one of their options. I built a house last year over Table Rock Lake, and we put an alternative system in it, and this lot wasn't 100 by 120, and it was in the county, Stone County. But we put an alternative system in it. You're supposed to be able to drink the water when it comes out of it. I think, you know, you might want to add some, you know, that would be up to whoever approves the septic system.
Well, right now, the minimum requirements for that are 2 acres, correct?
Yes, yeah. The,
I mean, that's
the minimum
requirements.
You
can doesn't matter what the
system is. You
can
put an alternative system for a duplex easily on 2 acres.
Well,
and
I'm not sure that would meet minimum requirements of how it's written today in Taney County, though.
Yeah. I don't think it would.
No, it wouldn't.
I'd say leave it as
it written here.
If it comes up, well, we'll have to deal with it.
Okay. It's certainly better than what we've got today, which is nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how to get around it any other way right now.
One thing that I've added just as a suggestion from Gail is 313.6. The way I've got it written is a document must be signed by all property owners that covers all common interests in the property.
What page are you on?
Maybe must be executed.
You on page 5?
What page are you on?
Yeah, page 5.
He's drafting a 6 now.
This is new.
You just added one.
Yeah.
Because we're all looking for 3.13.
Well, that's why I said I added 313.6.
I like it.
I don't know how. But if you just say document without description,
well,
then you opened up a whole other door.
We could put a common interest. All I've got for a definition right now for a common interest document is a document signed by all property owners that covers all common interest in the property. That may not be what we want to say.
An agreement and or document. A written agreement. Yeah. I think that's what we ought to say. Not just a document, but a written agreement to be submitted with permitting.
No, because if you've got a homeowners association in place, you're not going to get, everybody's going to get that at closing, but they aren't going to sign an agreement.
Well, you may not have a big community of them. You may have just one.
You might, yeah, but then it's still a homeowner, it's still a recorded document even if it's one duplex, it's a recorded document at the courthouse, it oversees basically a property owners association or a homeowners association. Now, I in that case, where you had one duplex, and I'm not sure that exists very often, but you could cover it with an agreement. But if you had 25 and they sell at different times, you need a word different than agreement. There needs to be some sort of a governing document, and it could be a recorded governing document.
Mm-hmm. It has to be a recorded document.
And I agree.
That's good wording. We'll just, I think that's mm-hmm. what to use. Just use yeah. that.
My caveat is I'm not an attorney.
Well, and that's
yeah,
what my...
He left.
He left.
That's right.
Well, my next suggestion is to get that verbiage written by an attorney. We have a county attorney or somebody, maybe.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, we need to get that done quickly, though. That's,
I don't think we've got one here.
Well, we got one.
But I agree with you.
Read your verbiage again, please.
Well, then, you know, what Gail brings up about signed by all property owners, I don't know if that's the right word. A recorded, this is what I have right now. A recorded governing document signed by all property owners that covers all common interest in the property.
I think that's close enough to where we can get a little legal representation on it. And that's why we need to submit it to the commissioners.
I think what I would do is I would change sign to acknowledge bond. And that way, you tell me if I'm wrong, but at closing, they're not going to sign that agreement, but they can acknowledge it in a different piece of paper at closing.
That they've read that and know that it exists.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Like a, yeah. Because
okay.
condominiums, you do a resale mm-hmm. certificate, which has to be an issue.
Do you not
condominiums?
No. We're trying to avoid that.
Yeah.
All we
can. No, but it would be still be treated the same way, right, at closing.
Right.
I mean, I know they're different style of ownership, but we still have that same paper.
And so usually at closing, what happens is that document is provided to the buyer.
And that's one of those things they initial.
They acknowledge those documents.
Okay. So what I have now is... a recorded governing document acknowledged by all property owners that covers all common interests in the property.
Read that again.
A recorded governing document acknowledged by all property owners that covers all common interests in the property.
I'm not sure it's specific enough. I'm not sure it's
common.
I think it needs to go to an attorney with knowing the purpose that we're trying to achieve and have them.
Well, what I would like to do, knowing that this could take some time if it goes to an attorney, I'm okay with that. I would like to deal with the rest of this.
Yeah. I think that writing like you have it, because if we don't, we're going to come down to the color of the shingles,
yeah.
the color of the outside.
Yep.
We don't want to be that specific.
Yeah.
I think you ought to leave it kind of loosely done there. That they know
we can come back to that
yeah.
and change it.
We go to an attorney.
Well, I don't want to put. We've already put this off
to another attorney. They have a different interpretation.
Yeah,
of it, so.
Doesn't mean that we shouldn't look at it. But
no,
what I would
I
like to do is add it in there. Send it.
Depends on who's.
And then we can deal with it if we need to change it again. Because right now, people have been waiting for this for years, and I don't want them to wait any longer.
Yeah, I agree.
So, whether it gets approved or not, at least it gets moved upon
yeah.
and sent back to us if they don't like part of it.
Ken, I've got one question on, and this is just to clarify, on 313.4 on page 5.
I'll give this to you.
You have duplex in there. Should that be, and just a question, should that be a two-family residential dwelling as opposed to duplex?
Duplex is
what it is.
Defined.
Okay, right so there. You want... Oh, no, I know that. Well, also, Bob's comments were on page 6, and
well,
his suggested changes to page 5 are on page 6.
Yeah, I know we haven't got there yet, and so that's...
And that's fine, but I just...
Well,
I didn't know if you wanted to use duplex or...
I mean, our goal is to allow people to responsibly build duplexes in Taney County and open up that possibility. So,
but we've defined duplex, sure, so where okay. we use it, it should.
Okay.
Unless there's something you don't like about the definition.
No, no, I'm fine with the definition. It was just over on the next page. It just
well, again, that, I'm okay.
Two-family residential, and I'm talking about consistency. Is the reason? That's all.
Well, and I think it's really addressed my primary concern. Having this recorded governing document, because that was the key thing I was concerned about, is I wasn't sure how to approach that, and so I think this really addresses it now.
So what we've done on page 5 has addressed what you wanted done on page 6.
I really feel like it has,
because we haven't got to 314 yet.
At least on 313, I feel like it does.
Should we address the firewall while we're here?
It's on there, 313.3.
Oh, okay, I see.
Because
we lowered
the
yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, you tell me to be quiet. We want you to be quiet. But there's really four things you've got to address in this common document that I would go to an attorney. One is insurance. One is utilities. One is common elements. And one is exterior of the facility.
Correct.
I think those four things cover 95% of everything you want to have.
And there's a reason why we would want to get that specific?
Well, I think that's a question for the attorney, is because most documents have sections. They're pretty standard documents.
But I guess what I'm getting at, Gail, is in our code, insurance. Do we need to get that specific? Can't they get that specific in the document?
Taking care of the outside.
I think we should get that specific to add those four items in the code.
But then we might exclude something we need to.
Well, but it's like you said,
or not limited to.
Yeah, not limited to.
What were the four again? Really. Insurance, utilities, exterior?
Insurance, I don't utilities. Think. Exterior, building exterior,
okay, got that.
Common
anything that's shared.
Okay.
That common element's pretty well does it. The rest of it.
Well, if it's
insurance,
shared,
utilities,
yeah.
Exterior.
Building exterior.
And then and other common elements?
Common elements.
Yeah. Just common elements?
And that's your catch-all. Including but not limited to.
Yeah.
But there again, if you get that specific, one on one side says, I think it needs to be painted. And the other says, I believe it looks fine to me. And so you're into more definition.
Well, if one side gets damaged and they can't replace that kind of siding, they don't make it anymore. Both sides have to replace? You know, I mean, now you're
just caught into that.
Now you're, you know, and it happens. It just,
sure does.
One side wants green and the other wants blue. You know, it's just.
That's kind of like those.
That's the reason I didn't want to give 14 owners in that one single unit condo over here.
Okay, this is what I've got now. A recorded governing document acknowledged by all property owners that covers interest in the property, including but not limited to insurance, utilities, building exterior, and other common elements.
Sounds good.
That sounds good.
Okay.
And at least that would give them some step to sue somebody over if they needed to.
It's a starting place.
I only charge $5 an hour.
$50 a month.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, that works.
So we'll go with that, and I'll get that. I will get that to you.
Okay. And I'm going to put in the minutes for right now that we're going to add 3.13.6.
Yes.
Right.
And with that, I'll make a motion we approve those.
Okay.
Second.
Oh. Any other discussion on 313? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Very good. Now, the one thing we didn't talk about was 314.
Well, and just to clarify really quick, does that include the definitions as well?
Oh, I'm sorry. It does. Did it include the definitions? Dwelling unit, duplex?
Yes.
Just thought I better clarify.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That includes everything on page 5.
I see potential problems that I do with lots of things.
Yeah. What we didn't discuss, and this was added by Bob, was 314. Does that still come into play, Bob? Or is it? I don't know.
I didn't know what the feel was on that. You're not going to see multifamily on septic systems very, very often, but I was just looking, a lot of times in a traditional zone, you know, in traditional zoning regs, a lot of times you'll have a minimum lot size established per dwelling unit, basically for multifamily. But
if we deal with that, I'd rather deal with it in a table.
Okay.
Than here.
Yeah. Okay.
Rather deal with it where?
In a table instead of putting numbers on it.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, right now we deal with that.
We got a table, so we
put
it there.
Huh? Yep. Yeah, I proposed right it. I proposed it in a table on page 11, so we could.
Yeah, we'll go. We'll get to that.
Okay.
Do we need to?
And I'm really fine with that. With just going with the table.
Okay. Does anybody want to be specific on that, or can we just strike that and move on?
What? Put it in the
314. Yeah.
No. Let's.
Okay. Okay, let's move on. Types of permits. It looks like you've got one thing there under permits, 4.1.1, that's on page 6, striking out letter B, new two-family dwelling duplex on parcels of 3 or more acres, because that, of course, does not comply with everything we've talked about.
And then the other thing that we added is there was kind of an assumption that it required a Division 3 permit. To allow two families, but it didn't really read that way, to be honest with you.
So that would change. You'll strike, of course, again the parcel of less than 3 acres, and it just will read any two family dwelling that has been issued a Division 3 permit.
Yes,
that's what you're suggesting. We strike out the parcel of 3 acres because that doesn't match with what we've done here. That has been issued a Division 3 permit. So really just cleaning up a little bit of verbiage. Does anybody have any questions on that? I saw all your writing down there. I want to make sure.
Did you not ask us to look at this?
I did.
And, okay,
did
and I did.
Is there anything you do want to?
No. The special events, would you clarify that for me? Number E, or letter E, under Division 1 permit.
60 days or less. Is it defined? Is that right? How many of you?
I'm not sure if I'm looking at the right spot. I'm sorry.
Page 6.
Okay.
Under permits.
Sorry, I was looking.
Letter E.
Blue letters.
Okay.
It says special events in blue.
Or 90 days or less. Don't we have something defined in there that defines the word special events?
Yeah, it does. Let's see.
Okay, so we've got a definition.
3 months.
Yeah.
It's my nightly reading, our code book.
Is that out at Taney County or the Taney Center? Or what?
Yeah.
I was asking for my clarification. I wanted to know.
One thing, too, just to point this out, the items that are in blue show up in blue on the website when they're printed out. I believe it was originally intended that you could click on those and that would take you to the correct section. Don't know if it still functions that way or not. The last time I went. Okay, so it may. Okay. But that's the intent.
Okay. Well, any other questions on the permits and those changes? Okay, I would entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we accept the permits with the changes made.
4.1 and 4.12.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, let's move on. Appendix L.
On Appendix L, that's what we were actually talking about a little bit earlier, is right now we have this entire appendix, and I didn't put in this whole appendix, to be honest with you. I don't recall how many pages it is, but it's a number of pages, and basically it doesn't all necessarily agree with the actual adopted road standards. And so what I was proposing, and we could look at it either way, I just pulled in this classification of streets and right-of-ways, I just pulled that in directly from the adopted road standards, that separate book. But, I mean, we could really just reference that other document, too. The only other two things that I really proposed leaving was this 2.3. We had subdivisions adjacent to existing deficient streets or roads. She'll provide additional right-of-way necessary to meet the minimum width requirements. And 2.4, a subdivision located on only one side of an existing street or county road shall provide one-half of the required right-of-way width as measured from the center line of the existing roadway. That's not proposed verbiage. It's already in there.
Right.
But I just didn't see in the road standards where it spoke to that, where it addressed those.
That, sure.
But everything else basically is already addressed in the road standards.
I would like to leave the most common stuff, I mean, to have an Appendix L, the most common stuff we have, and then also cover ourselves by referring to all Taney County road standards apply. Just because, you know, if somebody does get a document that's building something, they don't have to get this and that. And you know, if we can get the most common stuff that's going to cover 90% of what we do, it would be nice to have that in there.
But that's,
cover ourselves by saying, you know, that we do go by all the Taney County road standards.
Oh, exactly. And like I said, this was just physically cut and pasted directly out of the road standards, the chart was.
Okay. So, you know, the suggestion that Mr. Meyer suggested earlier would be that's a bigger issue. That's a road standard issue with Taney County.
Yeah, we would really have to look at amending the road standards.
So it's probably bigger than us, Dale. So
just out of curiosity, did you get a document from the county agreeing for to you to put your mailbox and your...
It's probably in the minutes.
I mean, something to pass on to the next property owner?
Well... That's a great question. I really don't remember. I know I did not. Now, did the buyer get a verbal or something? But I never got, you know, got a sense of humor, but I think somebody just came out and told me it was okay when I did. And so I don't know. All I know is they were satisfied enough that they went ahead and bought that.
But the title company wasn't when you went to sell it.
No, the buyer...
Oh, the buyers.
When you do the survey,
right?
Well, it shows, you know, my sprinkler system and all that stuff over on the right. What the real message is, 50 foot was the easy way out. 50 foot covered all roadbeds, all utilities, everything you could ever want, so let's make it 50 foot. But on the other side, it's not very friendly to having some of your residential developments. And I think the other thing you have to think about is some of these residential developments don't want wide roads because cars slow down when the roads aren't so wide. And you've got Gunner Hill Road. That's been a litigious nightmare for years over the widening of that road. And I was in a meeting about a month ago, that's probably the longest, 2-3 months ago, with David Miller from the city, and he said, you know, what we're starting to see in some of the information is that roads that are smaller in residences where there's not a lot of people are desirable because the cars slow down, because the roads are smaller. So I guess what I would tell you is my opinion is that 50 foot was the easy way out, and so if we're going to fix it, we need to sit down and spend 8 hours figure it out.
Yeah, because there are a lot of things that come into play there. I mean, you know, you can't assume in most places, there are some here that you can, that road's not going to extend later into something else and that it'll never change.
Unless it's planted as a cul-de-sac.
Right.
And it's probably not ever going to extend any further because there's probably no way to change those ends.
Well, I actually live in one of those that was platted as a cul-de-sac, and the road goes on down right down Hidden Meadow when he bought the rest of that 80 acres.
Oh, really?
So, I mean, it happens.
Okay.
So it happens. I mean, I'm one house away from that, actually. But that is rare, but it does happen. So, but that's really, like you said, an eight-hour discussion for somebody else.
It is.
And so I think what we need to do, or whatever you all think, is I have this small appendix in here that covers most everything. And just like you've got the addition in here, all construction must adhere to the current published standards set forth in the Taney County Road Standards. That covers us for those other situations that are in the appendix.
Yeah, I think we've got to have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does anybody have any other comments or questions about that?
Nope.
If this is code compliance right now, then I think that we ought to go with this.
And it's with what we currently have, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I just cut and pasted it directly out of the...
Okay. Well, I would entertain a motion.
I make a motion we accept Appendix L as modified.
General provisions, number one, Appendix L, and 2.3 and 2.4 remain?
Correct.
All of that stuff? Okay. Okay.
I will second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Division 3 permits 4.1.3. Looks like you added this first sentence, is that right?
All of this was still verbiage from either 2009 or 2010.
Okay.
And basically what it looked at was said all land use changes reviewed and approved by the Planning Commission must receive final approval by the Taney County Commission. This was one of the places this verbiage was in there, but I don't remember that it specified where it was supposed to be. I do have a big concern, and I may be jumping the gun, but just to point out that it's about the same verbiage, but on 7.2 it says all land use changes reviewed and approved by the Board of Adjustment must receive final approval by the Taney County Commission. I personally have a big concern about that one, just because the Board of Adjustment hears appeal cases and variance cases. And
your suggestion to us is that we may look at the first one, 4.1.3, and changing it like you've got it highlighted, but possibly striking the second one in 7.2.
I would really have a big concern about that one.
So let me ask you this. If we strike this in 7.2, then we don't need to send it at all, because it would read just how it currently is.
Exactly.
So if we do nothing with 7.2, don't send it back to them.
Exactly.
Then it would alleviate your concern.
Exactly. It just doesn't get forwarded on.
Okay.
Why was that a concern? Why was it even brought up?
I think it was probably just thinking they were covering their bases and didn't realize what we were doing.
What you were really asking.
Yeah.
Because to me, that would be contrary. That would be contrary to statute. I'd have a big concern with that.
And that's what we're trying to do is to
adhere
to the statute. So,
right.
So this the highlighted yellow in 7.2, we're striking it. Is that correct?
We actually don't do anything with it.
Nothing.
Because we just don't send it back to the county at all. We just delete that.
Okay.
So we don't have to act on that at all, unless somebody wants to. If you want to have discussion on keeping that in there, if there's a reason why that we've missed. Okay. Well, then why don't we just not even deal with that one, and you just delete it when you send it back.
Okay.
Okay. Is that okay with everybody? We'll have to vote on that. All right. The 4.1.3, Division 3 permits, that change we do need to talk about. I would entertain a motion on that.
On the yellow, is that
very top one? Division 3 permits.
To delete it?
No.
Oh, just the top. Oh.
Yeah, just the top one.
You're talking about 4.1.3.
Yes. 4.1.3. We got two things there: the yellow, and we also have the striking at the bottom. Make a motion to add that in and strike it as presented. Okay, we have a motion.
Right. I'll second that.
We have a second. Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Let's move on down here to still on page 9.
My understanding on this next one was that what it says is no division / subdivision of land may be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office without gaining approval of the Taney County Planning Department, as stated in Taney County Order Number. I had talked to Eddie Coxey about that one because I wasn't sure of the whole background on that. And what he basically explained to me, and I have experienced this a little bit just since I've been here, is basically if something is, it's my understanding, if something is filed with the Recorder of Deeds Office as a boundary survey or as a survey, he's essentially required to record it. What had been talked about was the County Commission adopting a separate order that basically required a sign-off from the Planning Department. But my feel on that, and Eddie had talked about this as well, is that order would almost have to be adopted first.
Before we can do this part.
Before we could reference it.
So that order hasn't been adopted.
It's my understanding that they haven't gone anywhere with it.
So then our request to the county commission would be that they adopted an order.
Exactly.
Which would not be part of our code amendments, but just a request.
Exactly.
For them to deal with that.
This come up over that airport.
And lots of times, yes, it is definitely an issue. But I agree. I think the county commission would have to adopt an order first.
Yes.
Before we could deal with this in this instance.
Primarily because it's going to be something that governs the recorder's office versus something that governs our office.
Right.
But it's my understanding that the recorder is on board with this.
Right. So basically all this would be, if it got done, this would be informational.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
question I got on it is, we adopt this and somebody goes to record our deeds without following our procedure, they're just going to record it anyway, aren't they? How are we going to stop that?
It's his obligation, I think, the way it is now.
I don't know how we get to record our deeds not to go ahead and record it.
Well, that's why we need the county to adopt.
To make that change.
Okay.
That tells the county recorder to not do that.
It's really not for us.
Yeah.
Right. So this, we really can't deal with this, I don't think, in code amendments tonight. But what we can do is request the county to deal with it, and maybe a separate request.
Oh, okay.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I agree with it.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So you all want to ask them to deal with that?
Right.
And see if they, I know that's not code amendments, but while we're here and dealing with it, can we send a request to the county commission to deal with that issue?
Yeah.
So we can come back and deal with this?
Oh, definitely.
Right now, anything you take up or give me, you want to record, they'll just record it.
Right.
Okay. I don't know if we really need to vote on that. If everybody's in agreement, we'll just ask them to look at that.
All right, that, Rick?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's move on then. Looks like on page 14 of 107, 3.11.6, still on page 9, we're just striking this sentence here.
Yeah.
And I think on that one, really the way it's worded right now, if the parcels are 5 acres or larger, it requires a 50-foot right-of-way, but it doesn't actually require them to construct anything. And I think with the verbiage we had earlier...
If it connects to a highway, it doesn't need that.
I think it basically addresses it earlier in the subdivision. I was trying to remember. Sorry. It's been a little bit since I've looked at that. I think it was felt that was addressed basically in the subdivision section,
okay.
I believe.
If it connected to a public highway or something, it didn't even need to. There was no 50-foot easement. I don't remember where it was, but we did go over it.
I'll be honest, I was a little confused with the intent of the next one, too.
You mean where they added the S's?
Yeah. We basically took out any, and then I don't know if somebody liked the verbiage better. Or
he's jumping on that one. But let's go back to 3.116 first and deal with that. Is there...
Let me look at that, too. I don't remember... I know that was something that was either proposed in 09 or 10.
It was on page 4, I think.
And I think, like I said, I think the main intent there was that it really addresses that in the subdivision regs. And I think the thought was, well, why do we need it there, too? Yeah.
So we're trying to get rid of redundant statements like we did, like you said, 5.13, 5.14.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that was the thought behind it.
Okay, thanks.
Does everybody understand what we're trying to get, because it's already addressed in other areas, that we're just getting rid of redundant statements?
In 3.116.
3.116.
Yeah.
On page 4, the note at the bottom, is that what you're talking about, Bob?
Yeah. or just kind of the changes there.
So leave it as is and don't do anything.
What are you talking about?
Delete. Like he has.
Yes, yes.
3.11.
Yeah, the request is to delete that.
It's kind of covered a little bit there at the note on page 4.
Yeah.
So it's like you're saying, let's just delete that one.
So, I'd entertain a motion.
I'd make a motion to delete the 3.11-6 completely as suggested.
Okay.
Second.
I have a motion, a second. Any other discussion?
3. What now?
On page 9, and then if you look at the heading, it says page 14 of 107, about three-fourths of the way down the page, 3.11.6. We're just suggesting we delete that.
Oh, okay.
Redundant.
Yeah. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we're going to take, I guess the next one is right, still on page 9, under Division 1 Permits, 4.11, letter F. The changes here are striking the word any, adding plurals to building structures and appurtenances, and changing is to are. So it's just a verbal change. There's really not any code change, so to speak.
I've got a couple of other verbal changes.
Okay.
And it looks like they added part of this to Appendix B on the next page, too, when I look at this.
So this also goes with Appendix B?
It appears to. I mean, it looks at a lot of the same verbiage here.
In page 6 and page 9's got to.
I'll be honest, that was one of the areas I wasn't really certain what the intent was.
So there's no change to the code, it's just a change in verbiage.
Exactly, yeah. It's really just a verbiage change.
And you have some other changes.
I've just got a couple of other ones just to clarify. The first line, the types of permits available are defined below. I would take out however. That always gives you wiggle room. So take out however and start it with to aid in determining what type of permit is required. The decision flow chart of Appendix A will, not can, be used. And that should be to simplify, not so simplify. The selection process. And then under division permits, the first line, it should be a permit will be required for any of the following conditions.
Then look at B on that, too. Hadn't that been?
Yeah, that's got to be changed.
And that does, too, yeah.
B needs to come out of there.
Yeah.
2 acres.
Well, that just needs to be struck.
Yeah.
Yes. Take it completely out.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not.
No, I'd leave it in there and just do away with the
parcels. On parcels of 3 acres. Yeah just a new two-family dwelling.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then take out on parcels of 3 or more acres.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any problems with the changes?
Just
the other verbiage in F?
Just the 3 acres, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's
last word, and that would be duplex.
Yeah.
I'd entertain a motion.
I make a motion to accept number 4 permits with the suggested changes.
Both yours and the...
Yes,
okay.
And Tom's.
Okay.
I will second that.
Okay. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, let's move on to Appendix B. It reads the same except the addition of Division 1 permits are subject to the requirements of Section 4 of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are required for any structure, accessory building, or appurtenance greater than 100 square feet in ground coverage that is not classified as an agricultural structure. But then it says two-family dwellings, duplex on 3 acres or more are considered Division 1 permits. Don't think we need that in there.
Exactly.
So
we're going to strike the last sentence.
At least on 3 acres or more. You might put two-family dwellings are considered Division 1 permits.
Okay.
Or are you going to leave a duplex in?
Yeah, just the two-family dwellings.
On 3 acres
or more? Yes, just take out on 3 acres or more those words.
Yeah, then that's right.
We're basically kind of covering what we just talked about before. Any questions or comments? Okay, I would entertain a motion.
Make a motion to delete the on 3 acres or more from that particular paragraph.
And add the rest of the stuff?
And leave the changes there, yes.
Okay.
I second it.
Okay, any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Appendix F, still on page 10.
That one just says land disturbance permits are required for any development site where the affected land area exceeds 1 acre, including streets and utility construction.
So if their disturbed area includes the streets they're building or the utility construction or clearing of whatever for utilities, that's included. That includes that 1 acre, basically, is what that means there, right? Mm-hmm. Not somebody building a street or a utility building utility lines. He's a land disturbance permit.
I don't know how you enforce that.
But you certainly don't if it's not in there.
I don't.
I think that reads fine.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I had somebody from my township, and they called me, and said on any property, what they're thinking of is under agriculture.
Yeah,
I think that we should put something in there stating that this does not include agriculture.
Like we did in the appendix above?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Go ahead.
If that agriculture and they change the land and the water washes over somebody else's property, what do you do then?
That becomes a civil matter at that point.
Because you do want to keep people able to plow and things like that.
That becomes a civil matter between adjoining property owners.
Correct me.
Because, I mean, we've got a lot of people in this county, believe it or not, that are still very, very concerned about keeping agricultural out of planning and zoning.
Absolutely. Well, and that's...
Yes.
Well, I'm one of
commissioners included.
Yeah, if it's agriculture, that's totally different. Yes. As long as you're not taking advantage of that.
Well, here you get it. It's kind of like Gail and I was talking about a while ago. There's going to be problems there. But
we deal with them when we deal with them.
You deal with them individually.
So where do you suggest we put that, Dave?
I just say somewhere there should be in that appendix F that there should be something that mentions that this does not, I don't know exactly how to say it, but this does not, if not
agricultural use is excluded from obtaining a land disturbance permit.
Any development site.
That's the gist of what I want. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there any reason that you can see there, Bob, that would not, that we're tying ourselves up?
Dave, I don't disagree with you.
I mean, I don't.
You find agriculture.
That's what I was thinking too. I think we do define
it. The day that you catch them, or they start coming in here for a permit.
Well, I understand what you're talking about, Ray. I'm just, like I said, I'm expressing a concern from somebody from my township.
It's just like this airport that's presented here tonight.
They've already got.
They've been down there since middle August. Clearing land and building that runway. Not full time, but
yeah.
He said the biggest part of September.
He said he had a permit, didn't he?
No, they didn't have a permit.
No, he said himself that they were doing land grading on the airport.
Well,
maybe they're building.
That's a gray area. I understand.
That was a concern I had as well.
The suggestion is on the table, though. Let's get back to that. The suggestion is on the table that we add something that
excluding agricultural.
That excludes agriculture from this, although it's already excluded.
Yeah,
I understand that's
too big a gray area.
I don't know.
If you don't think it's necessary, why?
No, that's why there's all this on here.
My comment on that is I just think it gives too many people too much leeway, you know, when you exclude that.
Because it's already excluded.
It's already excluded.
Okay. I mean, agriculture is already excluded.
All right, then you don't
it's already to... excluded.
Yeah,
I've heard that same question to ask about fish clearing land, but... Really, we can't even enforce this one right here.
Well, but that's a whole other discussion.
We've had several cases come in here where they'd already dozed the land off before they come in here asking for permit.
Well, it happens for years, it's happened many times.
Yeah. So you don't want. So what y'all are saying is just to not address agriculture at all?
Yeah, just leave it as it is.
Yeah, I would.
Because everything's agriculture.
Let me just ask a question. I'm playing devil's advocate here, and this is the only reason, because I'm good one way or the other, but because of what Dave said, are we going to? I was at the town meetings. Should we address that to pacify the people in the county that are legitimate agricultural, and to ease over any questions that they might have that we're trying to say what they can and cannot do with, if they're going to farm, if they're going to plow, and they're going to.
Well, agriculture
be legitimate,
will be many things. I've spent a couple of days talking about that.
Well, and that's true, but I understand what you're saying. So, like I said, I'm playing devil's advocate just to, put with the exception of legitimate agricultural.
Then you have to define legitimate.
Well,
no, I can go with it either way. I just wanted to throw it out there for a little bit.
I mean, and that's fine. I agree with you. I go either way. I just wanted to.
How many people are going to come in here and tell you they've dozed off 40 acres or built two pumps? Do they do that?
They don't have to.
No.
Yeah.
They're agriculture.
That's what I'm trying to say.
No.
So why don't we
leave it as it is?
I put up a new building on my place this summer, and it was larger than the 100 square feet, but I've got chickens in it. That's agricultural.
Yeah, and it specifically says you can do that for agriculture.
Well, it boils down to most people that does that kind of stuff really don't care too much about what we, as a committee here.
You got that right. Now, that's a truism.
Well, no, that's unless their neighbor does it.
Then they care. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Nobody cares what they don't. Nobody wants you to govern what they do. They just want you to govern what their neighbors do.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, if everybody just worried about their neighbor did, everybody'd be worried about this. That's all I got to say about that. I mean, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I grew up in a big town of 48 people. I understand, but.
Well. If the rest of the committee don't feel like it needs to be in there, I mean, I'm not going to.
I understand what you're saying.
I'm not going
to
pound the
desk. It really doesn't matter to me either way. It's already in there.
Well, I understand that. I agree.
You know, if we're already covered and they come in and talk to Bob and he says, look, here, you're covered right here, then I think that covers.
And that's what we're trying to do is narrow down.
I agree with you. Like I said, I'm not arguing. I was playing devil's advocate, so.
Sure.
I think you add something on there now that you're just going to give a lot of people something else to talk about.
Yeah.
And to worry about.
But if we've got them black and white at another place, then we're covered.
Hey, I'm fine.
Okay. All right. So am I.
Well, we still have, is there something you wanted to add, Gail, or do we pretty much beat the dead horse? Okay.
Said agriculture for beating a dead horse.
Yeah, it is. I agree. I think we all agree. It's just a matter of where you. So we still have something we need to add here if you choose to do so. We're getting close. We're almost there.
What are we adding?
What are we adding?
Land disturbance permits are required for any development site where the effective land area exceeds 1 acre, including streets and utility construction. It's on page 10, appendix F.
I think that we should put that in there.
So that's a motion?
It is a motion that we should take as an addition to our code book.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other discussion? We haven't got that far yet. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Two left. Two pages.
On table one, I tried to put together the information we had from before. We will need to modify it a little bit because basically what we adopted earlier would require 8,000 square feet for a two-family dwelling or 4 acres.
Okay.
And then I think the only other thing to discuss is if we want to look at the multifamily or not. And then we don't have anything really currently in our code book that really specifically spells out a minimum lot size for multifamily or commercial. So I didn't know if we wanted to. Well, we may for commercial, now that I've said that. I think it looks at commercial and residential basically the same.
Okay. So the suggested changes to his changes are two-family dwelling instead of 9,000 square feet, we change that to 8,000. And instead of little dashes there, it says 4 acres on it. And I believe that's the only two changes to your changes. And this would be a complete addition.
Exactly.
Right? It's not in there at all now. Lot size and frontage requirements. And it's basically just a table that somebody can quickly refer to that would give them an idea as to what our minimums are.
Exactly.
So you change commercial to 4 acres rather than two? Is that what you're saying?
No. Two-family dwelling, duplex is the second one.
Oh, okay.
From 8,000, it'll instead of 9,000, it'll be 8,000 square feet, and it'll say 4 acres instead of nothing, because that's how we left it in our writing, is that two units would be, you know, we wanted to give somebody an option to be able to put a duplex up if they wanted to on 4 acres. Never know. Somebody might want to build one half for their parents and live in the other half. You just never know. That might be a really good reason why they want to do that.
I found you were talking about multi-family dwelling 3,000 compared to...
Because it's on central sewer.
Per dwelling unit. So that would be, if it's a triplex, that would be 9,000 square foot minimum. Right? And
right.
If it's a
triplex,
it would be 15,000
square foot. So should it say per as opposed to a slash there? 3,000 square feet per dwelling unit?
Yeah, I mean, that to me, that's a per, but I guess
I think it's sometimes people, I think we need to put per in there.
Okay.
Because a slash can also mean and or.
Okay.
I agree.
Put per.
So the initial change is to add this table, and then our changes to this is instead of 9,000 square feet on two-family dwelling, 8,000, mm-hmm. lot area, 4 acres, if it's a wastewater system on site, and multifamily dwelling, 3,000 square feet per dwelling unit instead of the slash. Those are the changes to the addition. Does anybody have any questions about any of those or comments?
I have a question about the multifamily well.
I do
14
too.
Lots or 24 people.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think you could do that.
There's a state regulation.
Yeah,
on
DNR
three,
takes care of that.
Yeah, basically the DNR regulates the wells.
Or three.
So do we even need to address the well?
I'd say not.
I don't really feel like it.
I don't think we should address it. I think that should be just totally deleted out of that.
Don't address wells at all.
Don't
address the wells at all on multifamily or in this place, chart.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've got a suggestion to strike both the multifamily wells and community wells from the chart.
From before.
I agree.
Everybody agree with that?
I agree with it.
Okay. Let's strike that out. Now our new suggestion is just that size with the single family, two family, multifamily, commercial use that we've already talked about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If there's no more discussion, I would entertain a motion. I had a big glass of water earlier. I'll try to push through this.
And
we're going to stop
and
one
way
or the
other. Problem because?
It's going to be.
I'm glad I went to the bathroom before I came in here.
You have to put that in the room. I can't come on. I'm not sure. Go ahead.
Come on, boy. Has
most of the changes the changes for the table one?
If you're not yet.
I will make that motion.
And I'll second.
Changes on table one.
To add table one and then accept the changes we made.
Yes.
Okay. Can we have a second?
Yeah. I think I made it, but they didn't hear me.
I didn't hear you. I'll let you do the next one. Any other discussion?
Speak up here, Steve.
This thing on.
any other discussion?
You're just going to have to speak up louder.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Opposed? Okay, we're going to move on to 5.3.1, still on page 11, lot size and frontage requirements.
And I think these will be fairly easy. They just basically refer to the table versus having the verbiage.
The numbers in there.
Exactly.
So we're striking all that stuff in 5.31 and 5.32, and we're just changing it, replacing with 5.31 that refers back to the table.
Yeah.
Very good.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And really the same thing on the next page, to be honest with you, on page 12.
Okay, so we could deal with both of those. But I will tell you, we've got, and that 6.5.3, we can deal with them at the same time, I think, since they're talking. We've got Taney County Regional Sewer District in there.
Okay.
And it should be applicable wastewater system permitting entity.
So that's become
for sure that it's going to do away with the Taney County sewer.
Well, either way, we're covered.
Anyway, yeah. We're covered. We're good.
And I think they shall produce.
Any questions or comments on that? Would anybody in particular like to make a motion on to change those two? Okay, we have a motion to change both 5.31 and 6.53 to the additions, deletions, and changing, taking out Taney County Regional and adding applicable, blah, blah, blah.
I did.
Dave did. Any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. I believe that's all we've got for the code amendments.
Oh, exactly.
Suggested changes. So how soon do you think you can get this stuff to the county commission so our folks that are really interested in that can make sure that the county commission stays interested in it?
I should have this to them tomorrow.
Okay.
I would like to have a copy of that after all the changes have been made.
Yeah, before you
now,
send that.
Now, I don't know how quickly they'll put it on their agenda. I can't promise.
Hey, before you send it, can you send us an email copy?
Yes.
And give us the rest of this week to make any comments.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
And correct typos.
Okay.
Right.
Exactly.
And then, Benita, can you send us out another copy before you send that to the commission? Are you, you're gone Thursday and Friday?
I am.
Yes.
We will have that to the commission by...
Me too. I'm off next week too.
I could
we'll get by December 1. By December 1. That'll give us a little time with vacations and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
That's good. So we'll try to get that. Yeah. We'll try to do that by December 1 and get that when she's back.
Okay.
So you all do need to make calls to the appropriate commissioners. Because this, you heard him say, this is
whether,
in 09.
Whether they're in favor, we just need them to act on it. Then we can go forward from there.
And oh, by the way, I shot a turkey for Thanksgiving. Is it unusual for people to scream in the produce
department? I got him. Okay. Anything else for the good of the order? Would anybody like to make a motion to adjourn?
I'll do that.
All right. We are adjourned.